Father, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your power, all of the magnificent things that you've done for us. We're in need of you. We're in need of your power. We're in need of your might. This world has shown us that we need the government that you have set up, and we need it now. Help us by your mercy and by your grace to stand steadfast, unmovable, to always abound in your work. And let us see, let us know that our labor is not in vain. Tonight, we're going to go back to the book of Numbers. And I stopped at 15 on the Sabbath, but I plan to bring us from 13 to back where we were in 31 to show that the government of God is the only hope that we have. We have no other hope in this world, and especially we as black people, we have no other hope. It's already been determined to destroy us. From the time we get, I would say, on the scene in our mother's womb, sometimes before we get there, sometimes waters have been poisoned, diseases have been given, and everything. So we need him. Then we need to be able to understand how to get along with other people and bring them to the knowledge of the truth. But how good of teachers are we going to be if we haven't taught ourselves? Well, tonight's message in the review of the book of Numbers is, why is evil taking over this land, and especially those that claim to know God? I have three little things here to say it. One is presumption. That's when an individual determines that I can do what I want to do and it's going to be okay. Two, false grace. Grace of God is going to cover me no matter what happens. If I got a truckload full of sin, wickedness, debauchery, ungodliness, murder, deceit, hypocrisy, God has a truckload of grace. And then the last one, and they all could be brought together. I separated them so we can see them better. No fear. What do you mean, Tim, no fear? I have an A. No fear of God. No fear of, we're not just talking generic God. No fear of Yahweh God, the God of the scriptures who say, I am that I am. I have that as my A, if you want to do my outline. B, no fear of the afterlife. We act as if this is it. Once this life is over, it is over. There is no judgment in the afterlife. I got to get it while it's here. I have for C, submission to evil desires to be like God ourselves on our own decisions being made by us. So we have, why is evil taking over? Presumption, false grace, no fear of God, no fear of the afterlife, and submission to our evil desires based on what we think and how we want to live. Now, how in the world is that going to fit into the government of God? How in the world is that going to fit into a recapitulation? I don't think I turned it on. How is that going to fit into a recapitulation of what we've talked about in Numbers? Well, I do need to bring this up first, so that you can see as we go through our review, which is going to deal with these issues. How does this fit today? Well, we know that there's been a lot of talk about George Floyd being killed. And a lot of people that don't even know him, don't know anything about him, never heard about him before, they're talking about him. And they're talking about his death. And then there are some that do know him. But there's a lot of wickedness going on where people are riding around in cars, giving bricks to black people to throw up against walls, painting things, and putting BLM, Black Lives Matter, because what is really going on and what is really happening while evil is taking over, there's a group of people that want to make Black Lives Matter to be the official voice and the official face of black people. And I've told you before, and most of the time, people will not read, they will not go to the internet and look at the origin or the genesis of Black Lives Matter and see that it is not a group of black people. It is a group that hates the black family. It is about promoting the family of LGBTQ, RST, whatever it is. It is a group that is set up to bring about that instead of bringing about the righteous family of God, where a man and woman come together and are married and bring forth seed to the Most High God to uplift his holy standard. It is about doing righteousness is what we're talking about. But Black Lives Matter, that group, read it yourself. Don't listen to me. What does it promote? Is it promoting the kingdom of God? Is it promoting the family of God? Is it promoting righteousness and holiness? I'm surprised that so many ministers, that the first thing they'll say is Black Lives Matter. If you're that kind of minister, I don't want to follow you because you're lazy. You won't read the origin. I did the same thing with the Presbyterian Church. I did the same thing with the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Church of God that I came from, the Catholic Church, the Reform. You ought to look and see where things come from. And see if they stay on track or if they made changes. Oh, yeah, don't leave out Jehovah's Witness and don't leave out Mormon and don't leave out Islam. Because everybody wants your mind. Yeah. Everybody wants control. There's the government of God, and you have every group that's saying that they're doing God's will. I heard Al Sharpton quote Jesus. He ought not be quoting the Bible. But I won't go into that right now because I got a message. Why is evil taking over? Presumption, false grace, no fear of God, of the afterlife, or we got submission to our own evil desires. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh. It calls it the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The Bible said that is not of the Father. So any kind of organization, any group of people that have determined that this is how I'm going to live, to do as thou wilt. Isn't that what Aleister Crowley says? Do as thou wilt, which is the whole of the law. Here is the Satanist, a man that was into pedophilia and in all kind of wickedness. He lets you know exactly why evil is taking over, to do and set yourself up as God. That's what God does. God does as he wills, but he's always righteous. I want to read something to you. One, I've known that people have known that I spoke against the woman that claimed that she was going to say that this black man was threatening her. And I go by the standard of God's almighty word, that any time a person is going to bear false witness on somebody, whatever the penalty is that they thought that individual is going to get, the Bible said that is what they get. So if she thought that they would throw this person to the ground, if she felt that what would happen is not only would he be thrown to the ground or put in jail or put to death, these are the things that should happen to her, period. This is what God said. He told me in Deuteronomy chapter 19, don't let my eye pity. When I let my eye pity and feel sorry for God's righteous judgment, I have placed myself above him, and that's a damnable position for Tim Merritt to be in. When I see that man put his knee on George Floyd's neck and hold it there, I understand it is bigger than that. I understand that there's an agenda. I understand that there's chaos to be made. I understand that you wanted to affix COVID to black people. We had nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with it in particular. But you want to come in and ransack our cities, and then you can use the gentrification and take our cities. You want to take our children and put them in the Black Lives Matter. You want to put them with Ruth Bader Ginsburg to lower the age of consent. You want to do pedophilia. Our children are being stolen and sold. Body parts are being done. They take and sell. That's what they even admitted to. Planned Parenthood selling body parts. You want to do things continually to us. Not only have you taken our land and taken our dignity and taken our heritage as if we don't exist, and then you give us a term like you gave the Mexicans and you gave the other Spanish people, you gave them Hispanic. It didn't exist when I was a boy. You give us African-American, and you know far back that many of the Africans care nothing about the kingdom of Judah and the Hebrew people there. You took our identity, and you gave it away with the Balfour Agreement. Yeah, you do with Theodore Herzl. Tim, you ain't supposed to read that. Why not? Because if you give me propaganda all day long to repeat, you'll have me either slandering somebody, praising the wrong person, or condemning the wrong person. But I want to understand, why is it that we can have such an uproar over George Floyd being killed, but what about Mr. Ahmaud Arbery? What about Mr. Ahmaud Arbery? Why is this wickedness continually taking over? Why do we don't seem to care? And why is it when some of our white brothers care, it's all of a sudden now is validated, authenticated, and now it can be disseminated as if it's true? I want you to hear something. I heard a man read it today, Eric Erickson. I'm going to read some of this. If your ears are tender, don't listen. Cut out about 5 minutes, do something else, go to the bathroom. If you're drinking wine, drink your sip of your wine and go back and chill. Go make whatever kind of phone call you have to make, because I'm going to read it as it is. And if you think it's not godly, then confront me about it after the message. William Bryan, I'm reading a part of an excerpt of some information about the people that killed Ahmaud Arbery. William Bryant told investigators he heard Travis Michael use a racial epithet after fatally shooting Ahmaud Arbery in Glenn County. A Georgia Bureau investigation agent testified Thursday at a preliminary hearing. Remember, I'm reading this to let you know why evil is taking over. This is letting you know that evil is taking over. So don't ever think he didn't get back to the point. I'm not reading this just to make fun. This is somebody's son. Yeah. This is injustice being sowed in the land. This is bloodshed in the land that God's going to deal with. We'll get to Numbers 35 and talk about it later in the future. It says the hearing lasted about 7 hours, with the judge ruling all three defendants, McMichael, his father, Gregory McMichael, William Roddy Bryant, would stand trial on all charges. The details of Arbery's last moment emerged amid a week of nationwide protests over the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and the demonstrations also calls for justice in Arbery's case. GBI assistant agent in charge, Richard Dial, testified that Brian told the police, Travis McMichael, he said, "the fucking nigger," after three blasts from the shotgun left Arbery dead in the street in Suntilla Shores neighborhood in February. Body camera footage also showed a Confederate flag sticker on the toolbox of McMichael's truck, he said. Did you hear what I said? I didn't delete the F-bomb. You got a problem with it? There'll be another one in there. But don't you ever listen to rap. Don't you ever watch the movies that come on Netflix. Don't you ever watch any of those, because they use them repeatedly as if that makes the movie good. On cross-examination, Dial testified that Brian mentioned the slur May 13th in a GBI interview, and to Dial's knowledge, Brian had not previously made an allegation, including during May 11th interview. In other words, you're seeing that stuff has been happening. We ain't been saying anything about it. Wickedness ruling in the land. However, the agent said there were numerous times on social media and via messaging services that McMichael used the same slur. That means nigger and the F-bomb. The same slur. Notice, I didn't put it in there because it wasn't right there. It just said the same slur. I'm just going to be accurate. The same slur. Once messaging someone that he loved his job, because there weren't any niggers anywhere. In another instance, sometime before the shooting, he replied on Instagram message that things would be better if someone had blown that nigger's head off. Dow testified. Dow did not say to whom Michael was referring. Dow was not asked for more context. Why not? If it had been Trump, said you'd ask for the context. Brian, they would want to destroy him.
That's enough.
Brian True had several messages on his phone that include racial terms that indicated he may have prejudged Aubrey when he saw him that day, Dial said. The evidence of Mr. Brian Race's attitude in his communication and from the, I don't know that word, extrapolate. I know what extra is and polate. The reason he made the same assumption he did that day, he said he saw a man running down the road with a truck following him. And I believe he made certain assumptions that were at least in part based upon racial bias. Scores of protesters gathered outside the courthouse after the hearing and could be heard chanting "All Lives Matter" when "Black Lives Matter." This is what I'm saying here. You cannot make Mr. Aubrey be Black Lives Matter. That's a different agenda. And once you make that the face of black people, whenever or if ever the government ever decides we're going to do anything for black people, it will go through that channel. That's the same way that they did in Ferguson, where those people came in, shipped in, and they typed, and they were able to get money, and they got funded. And then the black people always, always have to share or have to be behind somebody else, and they grab on like a leech, worse than a leech, because at least with a leech, the horse gets to continue to live. The pursuit. This is what I want you all to hear when we can just take over. The allegation came as Dow outlined the events that led to Aubrey's death and said that before Aubrey was shot, the three men charging the murder engaged in an elaborate chase. Notice the word, elaborate chase. Hitting the 25-year-old jogger with a truck as he tried to escape them. I understand that the other guy was on the ground and cried, "Mama," but can you imagine running from a truck? Can you imagine being hunted down like the game, the war games and things that you've seen on TV? That was one time this guy named Ice-T, they did a movie with him, and he had the Reavers running, and they were hunting him. Again, the allegations came as Dial outlined the event to Aubrey's death. And said before Aubrey was shot, three men charged in the murder, engaged in an elaborate chase, hitting the 25-year-old jogger with the truck as he tried to escape them. Asked whether he believed that Michael could have been acting in self-defense, Dial said the opposite was true. "I believe Mr. Aubrey was being pursued, and he ran till he could run no more." Do you know how that must have been? I can't run no more, boss. Randy can't run no more. And it was his turn. His back was the man with the shotgun. A fight with his bare hands against the man with the shotgun. He chose the fight. Praise God for a man that will fight to the death. You understand what that must have been like? You understand what the heart must be beating like? You know what it must be like to be and especially if you've ever seen the movie Get Out, this must have been surreal to him. His back to the man with the shotgun and with his bare hands against the man with the shotgun, he chose the fight. He said, "I believe Mr. Aubrey's decision was just to try to get away. When he felt like he could not escape, he chose the fight." I've done that in my life before. Somebody getting ready to beat the living crap out of me. And I could not run him. But the Lord gave me victory. This man didn't get victory. It says, and Travis and Gregory McMichael attempted to head him off. Aubrey ran past the truck of Brian, who recorded the killing, and Brian struck Aubrey with the side of his truck. In other words, he's running. You didn't hit him head on, but he ran, and you hit him with the side of your truck. You ain't letting him get away. You already said he's a nigger. And if you didn't say it, that's what your intent, just like the rest of them. Ran past the truck, recording Brian struck him with the side of the truck, Dow said. Brian told the police at one point he thought Aubrey was trying to enter his truck, Dial said, adding that he didn't know whether it was true, but he felt Aubrey was trying to escape. Investigations found the swipe of a palm print on the rear door of Brian's truck, cotton fibers near the bed of that, near the truck bed that we attribute to contact with Mr. Aubrey, and a dent below the fibers, he said. Brian's attorney, Kevin Goff, said his client was working on his porch and didn't have any idea of what McMichaels were doing. Brian sees someone he doesn't know, followed by a truck that does, and he does, with all due respect and with any patriotic American would have done under the same circumstance, Goff said. Attorney Lee Merritt, who is representing the members of Aubrey's family, responded saying, "That is no longer the America we wish to live in." I know that's right. Though Brian's attorney contested the allegation his truck took part in the killing, Dial said Brian yelled to the McMichaels, "Do you got him?" That's what it didn't say, "Did you get him?" "Do you got him?" when he saw them chasing the 25-year-old jogger. The McMichaels and Brian have not entered pleas, but the lawyers for all men have proclaimed their innocence. The yelling out to the McMichaels, Brian joined the case, at which point none of the three had called 911. The McMichaels, the father and son, have already tried to head off Aubrey once when Brian joined the pursuit. The GBI agent said Brian tried to block Avery as Travis McMichael drove around the block with his father in the bed of the truck, he said. Now tell me this is not hunting him down like a dog. I'm already getting angry again, but wickedness is allowed to prevail. Brian made several statements about trying to block him in, using his vehicle to stop him. Dial said this statement was Mr. Aubrey kept jumping out of the way and moving around the bumper and was actually running down into a ditch in an attempt to avoid the truck. What an awful death. At one point, Aubrey was heading out of the Satilla Shores, is really Satilla Shores, there's no N in it, neighborhood where the defendants live, but McMichaels forced him back into the neighborhood to run past Bryant, the agent said. That is when the truck struck Aubrey, Dow said. Aubrey kept running with the McMichaels in pursuit. Please understand, wickedness is allowed to prevail. None of this was going to be out in the public. None of this was going to be dealt with. They were going to sit down, drink coffee, eat, and probably wait for the next one to do. Read some more, Tim. Brian turned around, and that's where the widely disseminated video of Aubrey's killing began, he said. When the police arrived after the shooting, Dow said, Gregory McMichael said in his remarks, caught on the police body camera footage, that he didn't know for certain if Aubrey had stolen anything. He had a gut feeling that Aubrey may have been responsible for thefts that were in the neighborhood previously. He actually says gut. His instinct told him that, the GBI agent said. Travis McMichael told the police he ordered Aubrey to get on the ground before shooting. And Gregory McMichael also told the officer he instructed his son, "Don't shoot," Dow said. The McMichaels charged with murder, aggravated assault, appeared wearing face masks in the Glenn County Detention Center a few miles away from the courthouse. Brian waived his right and was arrested of charges of felony at the last moment, something like that. I don't want to read it all, but I've heard more about it. Not only did they chase him, hit him with the truck, and the man shot. The first time he said he didn't hear the shot because evidently was on the phone. So then hit two more shots, shot him in the shotgun on the left side of the heart, or the left side of the chest where the heart is. He was shot twice. He hit the ground. But before then, he had tried to fight back. He had been hit with a truck. He had been chased. They call him a effing nigger and all of these things. And the DA didn't press charges, didn't push charges. They were going to cover it up. And this is the kind of thing that when I see that, and when I'm talking about what happened up there in Minneapolis, and they really weren't going to do anything about this man sitting there with his arrogance, with his knee in this man's neck, and the other three on the other side of the car on top of it, and then the other guy sitting there licking like this, like, that doesn't even count for Philando or the young woman that they broke into their house. Brianna, thank you, precious. And this is the kind of thing that is going on. And then when you come to our neighborhood and you paint BLM, because that's going to be that's the new standard for black. We better disavow it. Better look and see what they stand for. You better look and see what they're promoting. They're not promoting your children. They're promoting. Read it until they're changing it. Till they change it, it's on there. What I'm promoting is the government of God, and the book of Numbers show the government of God. If we don't have the government of God, we will have the government of some activist group, whoever gets the power, whether it's Marxist, socialist, whether it's BLM, and it won't be BLM. Believe me, it won't be BLM, because when you don't control the infrastructure, if you don't control your own funding, if somebody else is funding you, believe me, you are doing what is being told for you to do. God is holy. And he's separate. But what precipitated my message for me to focus in on Numbers that way to show the government of God is because of the fact I realize that the biggest problem that we have right now, we don't see God's word as governmental. We see it as church. We see it as singing. We sing, we see it as coming together and shaking sister so-and-so hand. Oh, you have to go to the bathroom and you leave your thing up in LA. I heard that came about during slavery, that you were supposed to be sitting down, and if you got to get up, you got to get permission, or wearing white gloves so that you didn't, you know, the same kind of white gloves that they had when you were supposed to touch master or any other white people that came to the assembly, so they made the ushers wear white gloves. Or whenever you're sitting there to make sure you're saying what you're saying. We call that church. We call church getting people saved. You mean to tell me you've been in the church, deacon so-and-so, for 30 years and you're still getting saved? Sister so-and-so, you've been in the church 30-something years and you're still getting saved?
Yeah.
What? You don't go, look, I've been in the army. You don't go till whenever you first go in, you get recruited, you go in and they take you and they make, now I forgot what they call it, but you take off all your clothes or you take off your own drawers. They, we're going to give you the drawers we're going to let you have. We're going to give you the pants we want you to wear, the shoes, the socks, the hat, everything we give you is going to be issued. You send that other stuff back home to your mama or whoever it is that's going to be there. You ours now. But we come in, and guess what? After that, you start marching. You start doing push-ups. You start learning. You're going to get a manual. We're going to take that M16A1. We're going to take that gun, and we're going to have you to take it apart. And all of the parts are going to be on a piece of, on like a cloth. And you're going to know all the parts, and we're going to show you how to put it together so much so that you can put it together without even looking at it. Now, if you're going to say you're a child of God and you still got to be saved, I hear people in the say that they love God. I still got issues. I still got the so-and-so. I can't overcome this. Let me tell you something. If you've been going to the gym 40, 15, 20 years, and you've been in there with that government, I ain't going to pick up that heavy kettlebell. I ain't doing that. And you got like this 25, and you're still doing this. And you on the cell phone, that I can't build no muscle. Because you ain't doing right. Okay? If you squatting and you in there screaming and you only going down that far, you not squatting. You showing out. Have you seen that kind of stuff before, son? So what I'm saying is you go to church and you screaming, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, but you're not treating your husband right. You're not treating your wife right. On the job, somebody asked you about something. Let me tell you the worst thing that I've seen, and I've been seeing it over and over again. I had a man to tell me, this is important that you hear this and go with the message. I had a man and a woman. I think the last one I talked to was a woman. And she said it was yesterday. And she would tell me it was so wrong what that man did when he killed George Floyd. I said, why is it wrong? Well, he killed him. And I said, why is that wrong to kill? I just kept asking why. Everything, why? It ain't justice. Well, why is it not right to give justice? Then what is justice? The bottom line is, it came down to her preference. I had another man tell me yesterday was balling, as the young people used to say. I'm at one of the restaurants that I work in, and I'm talking to this Chinese guy, and this Chinese guy said, well, it's just wrong. People shouldn't do things. I said, where do you get the word should from? How can you say should? That means it's obligatory. I say countries go and pillage people and kill people and steal people and take their land. I say I don't think Taiwan would agree with what China does. He said, no, Hong Kong either. I said, that's right. I say America has done things to people. I said, so why do you say it's wrong? He said, because I feel that. Well, I said, but you one person. I said, you, if you're from China, you know there's over a billion other people that have mindsets. So as we move on, and I see it's not getting to the place, I'm saying it's wrong because God Almighty in His Word says it's wrong. And when God Almighty says something is wrong, it is wrong. I don't equivocate on that. I presuppositionally have made my mind up that whatever He says, He has not only the authority, He has the background, He has everything what is called transcendentally. In order for me to know what is, I look at what I see today, and does it comport with His Word or what you think? It always comports with God's word. That's the brief, what is called presuppositional. Well, in this case, why is evil taking over? We presume we can just live and do like we want to. We see the government of God is against the presumption of man. Now, remember, this is a review, so don't expect me to do verse by verse on everything. But in Numbers 13 and 14, God had built up this nation. He had built them up to have warlike powers. He had built them up to have police-like powers. As a matter of fact, let's don't say police-like. They were policing. They were an army. They were a priesthood. Their job was to make the other nations know who Yahweh God is. They were to bring justice in the land. When you hear children, I'm old enough to say children, children and children, out there, what they call millennials, saying, no justice, no peace. If I ask 50 of them, I doubt one of them can tell me what justice is. When you say no justice and no peace and you are disrespectful to your mama, you don't care about justice. You're just marching. If you say no justice, what is justice and what is peace? Now understand something. I want you to hear this and hear this very well. Let me tone it down. The Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. Peace don't just happen. Peace just, my daddy made peace on my backside, okay? It worked so well. I was. As a matter of fact, my mom used to make it till I got about 12 years old. And I'm like, I did my time. No woman gonna make me cry. I'm like, so she would be tearing me. I'd be feeling on the inside. It'd be hurt. But I'm like, I ain't gonna cry. She was trying to make peace. But I was resisting the peace. Then she said, I'm gonna tell your daddy when you get home. No, mama, please. Cause see, I couldn't resist him. I couldn't resist Billy, because he'd make peace. I didn't say he'd make everything hunky-dory. He'd make peace. He would settle down my riot, my rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by doing that, the home could have some peace for a little while. Barry and Gary could have some peace. Stacy could have some peace. And all of a sudden, it's like, I learned how to be good. Remember what you told me one time? You said, a switch. Switch your attitude from bad to good. Well, my daddy had a strap, and that strap could beat that hell out of me, at least for a little while. Because you know what ends up happening is my presumption. I'm bigger now. And she called and said, I'm going to tell your daddy. That was it. What young people say, drop the mic. It was dropped. Go ahead,
friend. And when it went past that, it was. I've taken on the
insurance policy. She did. I need people on Facebook to know that. My mama, Faye Merritt, Lola Faye Merritt,
yeah,
told Tim at 16.
That would be her
day. Yes. At age 16, I'm through with you. I'm through worrying with you. You won't do what I say. I've taken out an insurance policy on you. And whatever God does, He does. I've taken out that policy, and I've already paid it. They're like, no, mama, no. Because I always knew God could do something. As long as it was me and her, we could go back and forth. I think about 10, 15 years ago, the policy matured, and I saw how many, almost five digits, maybe $100 away from being a five-digit policy, okay? We're talking about past 1,000. That's four digits.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed it over because it's mine now. Because the way the illegal laws or the ungodly laws, they make it be mine. And she paid it. I signed and gave it to her. Why? Because that was part of her payback that she paid because of my wretchedness.
Yeah.
Because evil was taking over in me, because in a public school, I had learned rebellion from other people. I had seen things in my cousins, and I'm thinking if they don't get whipping, because they were lying, I didn't know it. I didn't think they'd get whipping. I'm the only one getting whipping. No, it's not. And I helped ruin my own life. Now, this is important. I'm not telling you that just because it's funny. We think because God hadn't struck everybody down to do stuff, we think we can keep rebelling.
There you go.
You see, I saw people do stuff. I saw people that, you know, because I grew up with people, a lot of kids didn't have daddies. You know, we'd be in school and say something, my dad is dead. You know, that's what they might say to the teacher. My dad is dead. You ain't my daddy, my dad is dead. Or if some people, their daddy would go out and drink and stuff with them while they were young. I didn't have that. But they seemed like they were older than me, and I was young, and I didn't want to be made fun of. What we act like is God is dead. Somebody else act like, I don't love God, I don't care nothing about God, I'm an atheist, we don't do God, we don't go to church. And what we do, we act the exact same way because we don't see that he's going to get us. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It was no doubt in my mind Billy was going to get some. That's why I ran away from home as a child. I said, Daddy, can I just use the bathroom? Can I just use the bathroom first? I went in the bathroom. I opened the window and jumped down. And it was a high jump. I jumped down.
I jumped.
Because I knew what he could do. We don't fear God. We don't know what he can do. We think that he smote different people in the Bible. And he's forgotten how to smite. He's given certain people disease. We think he has forgotten how to do that. And he knows how to bring a nation to his knees. So the children of Israel, when God brought them to the land, he said, it's time for you all to go in. Now it's time to do my work. I didn't just save you to be saved. I didn't save you that you could set up your own government. That's why I set up my government. I set up my government with me in the midst so that you would always look to me to understand how to go about making decisions, how to do righteous judgment, and how to prosper. So now I get you to the land and say, it's time to go in. Some of these nations, I've dealt with them before. You don't know it. I've dealt with them, and now I got to execute judgment on them. Many of them are killing their children. They're burning their children into the fire. They're doing pedophilia. They're doing things that I don't like. They're robbing. They're pillaging. And they are following other Elohim. We call them demons. Sometimes the proper word is Shadim. And they're following them, and now I'm going to execute my judgment on them because the whole earth has known about me before. If nothing else, you just know from the blood that they did.
Right.
Now I'm going to exercise my judgment, and I'm using you to be the avengers of my wrath. On one hand, you're going to deal with my wrath. On the other, you're going to teach the nation to make peace in the land. They wouldn't go in. They said, the people are too big. We can't do it. So you had a group in the midst of a group. You had the majority in the group saying, you know what? God doesn't know what he's talking about. And the majority in the midst of the group saying, you all are too fanatical, because two of them say we can. The other say, you're too fanatical. It ain't about all of that. Look, we're out here. We got food to eat. We can go back to Egypt at any time we want to. But God said, no. I got an agenda. I didn't save you to tell me what the dadgum do. You better be glad I'm not raw. I wouldn't have said dadgum. I'm not having you to tell me. I tell you. I know how to God. I got it from the very time I said, let there be light, and there was light, and I saw the light, and it was good, and I divided the light from the darkness, okay? So you go in, and you take the land. You're not taking it as being cruel or as being bitter. It's my land. I'm using you to execute judgment because I want you to know as my sons and as my people what it's like to be like me. You are ruling for me. The whole earth is going to benefit from you doing it. And they said, we can't do it. The obstacle is too big. We're going to take over in a land where we feel the obstacle is too big. Whether it's police injustice, whether it's immorality that's in ourselves on our television, we think it's too big to deal with. And God is saying, move it forward. Move forward. Just like this. And this ain't going to be but 30 seconds. I talked to a man the other day, and he was telling me how spiritual he was and how the depth of his knowledge and all of this. And he's going to pontificate and disseminate this information to me for 15, 20 minutes. And after I got tired of listening, I asked him, I said, do you fornicate? Yeah. I said, so how are you going to tell me you love God and love his word, and you up here going against his word? Yeah, you know, I have. You have rebellion. Well, I went 7 months without doing it. I said, did you masturbate during the time? You're like, oh, God. I said, don't play with me. Do not play with me. Because what you're doing is you're trying to make yourself equal to the Most High God and His righteousness. You're watching porn and doing all of this and thinking you okay. Well, these people say it's too big. Sometimes we think our sex drive is too big. Sometimes we think our anger is too big. I know a man I talked to 2 days ago. He said, he slapped me. I got to kill him. I got to shoot him. I said, God didn't say you can shoot somebody because they hit you. He said, the maximum is an eye for an eye. And a 2 for a 2. And you know who he is. I'm not going to call his name. But here's the deal. They wouldn't go in. And then we move into another aspect. That's presumption, to feel that God has told you wrong. Presumption is that God has told you wrong and that you can't do what he says because I got a better agenda. Then after God tells them, okay, you didn't go in, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to let you go in. I'm going to let you die out here in the wilderness. Well, they determine we'll go and we'll do anything and we're going to get the blessing anyway. I'm going to show you how that works. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 30, God says something about presumption that I want you all to hear. Numbers 15 and 30 in our review, it says, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, his name reproacheth Yahweh. That soul shall be cut off from his people, because he has despised the word of Yahweh and have broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Somebody say, Tim, why do you read that? Tim reads that because of the fact we have been told in our world that God just going to have to understand. We've been told in our world that nobody's perfect but the Father. So we presumptuously go on and do. And I'm telling you that his pattern, his government, I can cut you off from the government and you can still be living and you don't even realize that you're cut off. So in their rebellion, when they wouldn't go into the promised land, listen to what Yahweh says to these people. He always say, when you go in, I want you to understand why I'm going to deal with you. And Trina, you're going to need to mute the conference line for me, please. It says, when they go in, it says, now if you will kill this people as one man because they went against God, and God said, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses is now pleading that God would let these people live, that they've done presumptuously. Please, Lord, they're your people. You're supposed to forgive. That's the way he's feeling. You're supposed to forgive and let it slide. But when you understand we're dealing with government and we're talking about the chief agent of the government, we're talking about Yahweh of armies. You're talking to, like, the general's general. You're talking to the head of the military. So he says, now, if these people, if you kill these people as one man, let me, like, all at once. The nation which have heard your fame will speak against you, saying, because Yahweh was unable to bring these people into the land which you swear to them, he killed them in the wilderness. So it says, did you understand that argument? Because I read it kind of different. Let me say it in speech. God, you know these people know you have claimed you were going to do this for them. And if you kill them all at once, they ain't going to say you ain't all of that. You just brought them out here and like an angry God and killed them. So I don't do this. This is Moses is pleading to the people, and at the same time, he said, your name, Lord, your name. See, we don't act like that, Andrina. We don't act like God's name means something, because it don't mean anything to us most of the time. That's why we can get with any other activist group, and we don't see a differentiation between them. And so he says, and now, verse 17 of chapter 14, now I beseech you, let the power of Yahweh be great, according as you have spoken. You're long-suffering. You got great mercy. You forgive iniquity and transgression. You don't clear the guilty. You visit the iniquity on the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation. He said, pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy as you have forgiven this people from Egypt up until now. In other words, Lord, you know they mess up all the time. Lord, this ain't new, Lord. Lord, this is just another one. But see, here's the thing. This was number 10. And we didn't know that God was going to cut them off at 10. Some people cut off at 2. And Yahweh said, I have pardoned. I have pardoned to your word. I did what you said, Moses. Moses could be like, in his heart, yay! Woo! I was able to do it. But he was, God was, this is the word of Andrina Merritt. He said, sometimes people quit reading and say, God's not through talking. God's not through talking. So listen to what he says. And y'all would say, I have a pardon according to your word, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh, because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me to now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But, you want to see how grace really worked? But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and have followed me fully. People say, nobody's perfect. Caleb didn't know anything about that. He followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. Like I was talking the other day, son, this is amazing. I got something that I need to be given to you and my other son. He said, his seed gonna get it. All those other people, they died. We know because we've been in the number 605,000 people.
Yeah.
Two of them made it. They were 20 years old and upward. Does God need a mega church? Does God need every? He replaced every dadgum one of them. Do you all understand the gravity of that? When he said all these people are going to die and there's that many, do the math. You can take a calculator, take 605,000 and divide it by 40, we'll give you 40 years, and divide it by 12 months, you can see how many should die a month. If it just die equally, then you can do it by the day. There's a lot of death in the camp, okay? And those men, do you understand when you're in the 38th year and you, it's like it's about 50 of us left, and I'm looking over there at the air, you know, God. We dying this year, though. You know that. We dying.
You have to.
You have to, because it's like he already shown himself to be magnificent. You say, you think he might forget? No.
He's faithful.
Yeah, Aholiab just died. Look, Aholiab just died yesterday. Noah just died yesterday. And, you know, all of the names that they named from the end, they died. And they just think, if you're the last one, you know I'm going. Now, he pardoned that sin. That don't mean they went to hell, but they didn't get in the promised land. No doubt some of them may have gone to hell, but you got 40 years of knowing he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
You got a different attitude, and you don't probably think right away they all want to die.
That's right.
But you start smelling it.
I mean,
when you start seeing thousands die a month, you begin to understand. So he said his seed will possess it. Drop down to verse 28, because we're not going through the whole chapter, but he says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, these wicked people. They're wicked because they presumed that God was wrong and that they had a better agenda, that they had a better belief. It says, all that were numbered of you, according to the whole numbers, 20 years old and upward, that murmured against me. This is the point that I'm looking at when I see all this wickedness taking over the land. We can march all day long. We can protest all day long. When are we going to determine that we're going to do what God says about this issue? When are we really going to do two things? One, you can pray all day long, and I don't believe God's going to change it. Why do you say that, Tim? That's not what he said do. That's not the order. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what, Andrina?
Humble.
We ain't humbled yet. If I can still fornicate, adulterate, homosexuate, prevaricate, and any other kind of ATE that I can add to a word, make a suffix, and make a polysyllabic word, you ain't humbled yourself. This is what, when I used to ask people, and I still ask you walking in the word, they say, I pray. I say, what does that mean? I pray. I pray every day. I say, so when you pray, what do you do? What do you ask God for? To bless me. Bless my family, help me get a better job. I say, so wait a minute. God tell you what to do. You don't do it. You pray and you tell him what to do. That's what you're doing, you're praying.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me, you tell God, yeah. And like, you gonna take his place. He tell you what to do to obey. He said, but I pray. You sound like Hammer, and we pray just to make it today. You ain't got up there in a doggone thong. How in the world are they going to help somebody, a grown man in a thong, and you got women out there in thongs talking about praying? That seems like some of the kind of worship that they did to Baal and Molech and Asherah and Baal. Yes. You never humbled yourself. And then he said, and pray, but he didn't say just pray. He's going to go back and reiterate humble. What does it mean to be humble? Turn from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
We don't know what wicked is. We think wicked is just if you fornicate, adulterate, or homosexuate. Wickedness is if somebody has done restitution. Let's say somebody steal this. This is my headset. I called Bose today. They said they're going to replace it with a brand new one, okay? But let's say somebody steal it. According to God's word, they need to pay this back at least double. Okay? So now when you humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways, you go, instead of thinking that what I have is yours because you want it, you do restitution, you pay it back, you turn from your wicked ways. You think that's wicked right there, stealing, don't you? It's wicked. You think all these other sexual things are wicked. But you don't consider when you slander is wicked. You don't consider when you say, I should read the Bible and I don't, that's rebellion, that's wicked. God, prick in your heart. You want him to and give you the Holy Spirit speaking like that in tongues, but he's trying to give you the Spirit to read his word. I want to talk to you. I want to educate you. I want to prepare you for something that's coming. You don't recognize the Spirit if you don't have a tongue. The devil's not going to tell you to read God's word if you're going to use it for wickedness. He's not going to do it. So you turn from your wicked ways. And don't stop right there. You turn from that rebellion that you have. You turn from that deciding that God's judgment is harsh. When God say put a man to death, you say he should go to prison. That's wicked. You overriding the judgment of God. You don't have a kingdom. You don't have the power. You don't have the glory in his God forever. That's how he told him to pray. But then he says, seek my face. Turn from that wicked ways and seek my face. In his word, he lets you see his face. The word face, pene, that means his presence. Seek it. Seek my wisdom. Seek my counsel. Seek my face. He says, my people humble themselves, pray, repent, turn from that wicked ways, and seek my face. Then I'll hear. This is the answer. So their carcasses fell in the wilderness, and they died. And they got ready to go up in presumption, because once they heard that, they said, well, we're going to go up now. I'm telling you what this means to me. I don't believe that I'm wrong. I believe God gives us certain opportunities in this pandemic, certain opportunities in this stuff is going on to speak his truth. We may not be able to make things happen, but we have to be faithful because we don't know sometimes when things happen like God wants. You're like, how did this happen? It's because you were faithful.
Yeah.
What happened is they missed the opportunity. And once it was gone, they tried to stir it back up. And Moses said, God is not with you now. And they went up anyway, and listen to what the Bible says, 14:42, book of Numbers, go not up, Yahweh is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. Well, they went up, verse 44, read it, precious love, you already there.
They presumed to go up until the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even until Hormah.
In other words, they just whipped their tail for a long time, killed them, just killing them as they go. Why? I've already given you a death penalty, but I'm not killing you all at once. But in your presumption, you think because we have been set apart, we've been saved out of Egypt, you've already made covenant with me, but you think making covenant with me makes you safe. No, being covenant with you, me makes you safe when you do what I say. If you're not doing what I say, you got to fear me. It's not them. It's me. That's what he told Ezekiel. Ezekiel warned them from me. They had to worry about Nebuchadnezzar. They don't have to worry about the Assyrians. If Nebuchadnezzar come and get some, it's because I said it, okay? As a matter of fact, he called him his rod. So how is sin reckoned in God's government? You see, God has a government where he tells you what to do, how to do it. He sets you up so that you can win. But if you go against him and you move in fear that he's not going to do what he says, you will always do something different. And he'll fight against that. Sin is reckoned two ways. One, when you know it, and when you don't know it. Let's look at when you don't know it. 15th chapter, verse 24. He's talking about people doing dirt. He says, then if it be aught committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, then all the congregation shall offer one bullock or a burnt offering, a sweet savour to Yahweh with his meat offering and drink offering, according to the manner of one kid of the goat for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance that they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire, to Yahweh, and their sin offering before Yahweh for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth with them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. Now, since it's a review and it's not going into it deeply, it lets you know that God is aware that you can do things ignorantly, but it's still sin. It still has to be atoned for. So don't be saying, well, I didn't know. It doesn't matter. He ain't got, no, they still had to do stuff. But the point is that God is unlike American law. I don't know China law. I don't know Europe's law. I mean, I got a book, Black's Law book, but I ain't read it. But I mean, you talk about this kind of stuff. God gave his law so that everyone would know, so that they could judge the king, so that they could judge the priest, so they could judge the prophets, so that they could judge each other. And I made it simple. Our laws, they go in Congress and make new laws. The state go in the Senate and make new laws. And then they make laws to benefit themselves. And it's not based, it's not rooted in righteousness. It's rooted in whatever is expedient at the time. The government of God will not allow wickedness to take over like it's doing. The government of God gives you laws that are universal, absolute, and invariant. That means everywhere, all time, unchanging, past, present, and future. When people say there's no absolute, then that means there is no God and there is no law that we should go by. So somebody shoot them in the head right then, they say it's wrong. I said, before you die, I said, they wasn't wrong for doing it. I said, why? They just shot me and want to die. I said, you said there's no absolutes. So how can they be absolutely wrong for doing it?
That's right.
Can't be. You say everything is relative. Well, that's their relativity. You ran your mouth, he shot you. That's just how stupid we get to be as people. So then you deal with how sin is wrecking. You have another sin that I want to talk about. This is what they did, and this is why we have the wickedness in the world today. Drop down to verse 30 of chapter 15. It says, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or whether he be a stranger. You see, God didn't believe in sanctuary cities. See, what that is, sanctuary cities is like a perversion of the city of refuge, but that wasn't what the city of refuge. The city of refuge wasn't for the criminal. The city of refuge was where somebody killed somebody accidentally. You go there and you stay away from that family member when you kill somebody, and that family member, at least to the high priest, die. If it's 30 years, that's how long you're going to be there, but you're not in prison. You just have to make another life. They can come there, but you can't go to them. So he says, the soul that does aught presumptuously. Let me tell you what the word is. It's beyadram. Be, yad is hand, ram, to be high. That sin of the high hand is like, I just do it anyway. That's why the English word is presumption. So the soul that sins by sin of the high hand, whether he's born in the land or a stranger, the same reproach of the Lord. So when you have sanctuary cities, that's not God's government. They're going to obey the same kind of law that you obey, that the soul may not be cut off. Now, that soul should be cut off from his people because he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken the commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. We don't want to live like that. What we want to do, we want to say, guess what? This person didn't know. So when we go back to our real message, why is evil taking over? We sin presumptuously. We despise God's word. We won't go when he tells us to go. And when he's not with us, we're going on a forced our view on the world anyway. I would say another thing is we presume that because we're with God, it's going to be okay. We feel like our sins of ignorance are going to be okay. They're not. They still have to be atoned for. Just like whenever you do sins and you're just not paying attention. But there are some sins, even back then, there was no atonement for. That's called sin on the high hand or presumptuously. Listen to this one. This is the thing that I saw. Rules without God's word is taking the priesthood. Please understand what I'm saying, Ms. Carissa. When you have anybody that sets up laws or activist groups telling you how to go about making peace, or if you have other people coming in throwing stones and they say, we're trying to help the people. Rules without God's word is taking the priesthood. Now, why would I say the priesthood? Because of the fact God has a group of people that are his sons and daughters. They make up the sons of the king. The sons of the king that is royal. The king is the judge. So they are the ones that inherently teach the world how to live. They are the ones that bring the world into harmony with the king, with the judge. Listen to how we see that played out in Numbers chapter 16. It's very beautiful the way it comes out. It says, there were some people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They got upset with Moses. You think you all of that? You think you all of God? You ever seen a little dog that not big enough to really hurt you, but he is? But they say, you're taking too much upon yourself. And so they said, God has spoken to all of us just like he's done you. So here was what Moses says. Moses says in the 16th chapter of Numbers, verse 10, he brought you near to him, and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, do you seek the priesthood also? Their job was to carry certain vessels. He said, do you seek the priesthood also? That's an important statement, because the priesthood was supposed to lead people, guide people, make them right with God. You want to seek the authority of being the one that can come before God, and you want to be able to change God's rules and set up, change what God has said. You're seeking the priesthood to be in charge. Verse number 47, it'll show you again. And then the Bible says in verse 47, and as Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the plague, what God did was they determined they were going to overrun God's government and the people that were in charge of executing sacrifices, teaching. They were going to make themselves the one that offered the offering instead of what God had. God sent a plague out and just started killing people. He opened the earth up first and swallowed those men, and it closed up. I know as a boy, I probably would have tried to find the opening, or been scared of one of the two, because I would have gone both ways. But here's the thing. When they did that, Aaron came through with a censer, and he stopped the plague. When people take an activist group, and they're going to show you how to lead, they're going to show you how to lead the nation, they're going to show the nations how to get justice, they're going to show the nations how to do what's right, they're going to try to show your community how to do what's right, they're taking God's place. They're taking the place of the priesthood. And if you notice, whenever you take that place, did you see the judgment come on those people? I would submit to you, we can give in to any of the philosophies, any of the religions that will move you away from what God said, and you've given up your rightful authority as being the priesthood. God judged those people for that. But God also showed that I had one man. In the 17th chapter, they all had to bring their rod. They had like a stick, okay? And it's like imagine a tree limb that you have made into a cane. That's a rod. The word is mache. And it's a dead stick off of a tree. Well, when they ran their mouth so much, God said, I'm going to prove to you all which one is mine. So they had to write their name on each stick and bring it up to the tabernacle. And whichever one was going to grow a blossom on it, that means that's the real high priest. Well, God not only made it blossom, he made it have fruit. It had almonds on it. So everybody else was condemned. Why is it we don't believe that God will raise us up from the dead? You see, that stick is a dead piece of wood, right? But he made life be in that stick, didn't he? And it produced. Why can't we understand that we're supposed to be a rod of God? Why won't we blossom and bear fruit? Why? Why we keep waiting till we get old? Why? The wicked bear fruit from the time they little. Big, fat, nasty, greasy-looking men be out there bearing fruit from the devil, buying young women. You know, like, you can ride in my car. We so-and-so-and-so. You need an outfit. What? When it comes to God, we don't do that. And then we just see that God makes it known that the priesthood is important. And those that are in the priesthood, they have not only the ability to not be replaced, but to bear fruit. Then we move to the 18th and the 19th chapter. We see God doesn't tolerate death in the camp. What I mean by that is that there's a separation between that which is living and that which is dead. Anybody that died, they had to have sacrifices of purification water. And that means because death is a contaminant. Death, these are the training wheel stages in the book of Numbers. So it's not just dying. Well, you know, dying is part of the curse of man's sin, but death spread, because death is the kind of thing that when you stop obeying God, when you start obeying something, you spiritually die. It spreads. So he showed them in the training wheels or in the physical what he's talking about in the spiritual, separated. If you touch it, wash and be clean. Death is in a lot of stuff we listen to, a lot of things we watch, a lot of things we feel, and we don't wash our mind. See, a lot of time when it comes to Ahmaud Arbery and stuff, we start thinking justice, but we wash our mind of the good. Because if we really were interested in justice and righteous judgment, we would not allow ourselves not to practice it. If you can selectively want judgment and righteousness, that means you don't really want it. You just want it when you want it. That's the same thing as what Jesus said. You can see that big old little bitty mote. Notice the, what they call it, the oxymoron that I just did. Yeah. You can see that big old little mote in your brother's eye. It's so big to you. It's so big to you. But the one in your eye that big, you can't see it. That's what it is when you demand justice from the police, from this government, from parents, or your mate, and you yourself don't give it yourself. You haven't demanded it. All you've done is that you have said, I know when I do it, it's wrong, but I'm exempt. You're just like the Congress of the United States and any other people that's in positions of authority. So this is, I want you to understand why activist groups fail. Activist groups fail because of this. They don't want to do it God's way. Let me show you an illustration in the book of Numbers of God's government. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, God tell Moses and Aaron, take your rod, because they didn't have water. Take your rod. Gather the assembly together. You and Aaron, go speak to the rock before their eyes, and it'll give water. And when it gives water, it'll bring forth, and you and the congregation, everybody going to be able to drink and give them water. And verse number 9, Moses took the rod before Yahweh as he commanded him and Aaron. They gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said, hear now, you rebels! Hear now, you rebels! Must we fetch water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand. And with the rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. He didn't do what God said, and the people still got a benefit, right? They still got some water. But listen to verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Because you had a different agenda. Because you didn't sanctify and set me apart as special or holy in front of the people. You did another move. That is what activism is. It's whatever kind of group that they come up with the way that they want to do it. And it's not the way that God wanted. So the word sanctify means the same thing as holy, Kodesh. God say talk. That's my agenda. That's my governmental decree to you. You get there, and instead of God's governmental decree, I'm mad. You here and there, you rebels, and you hit the rock. That is activism. Now, I understand it ain't as big as marching, but what you have done, that's the genesis of another activism. And if he had kept doing that, and the people would have followed him, they wouldn't have been in line with what God wanted. This is what activist groups do. They exclude what God say from the method of getting what they want. They got the water, but it didn't get it like God said. He said, you won't bring the congregation in. This is why you should always be afraid of activist groups, even if they're saying something right. Why is what they're saying right? Why is why they're doing what they're doing? What's their agenda? If you don't know what God's agenda is, you'll be sucked up. And Moses did that very same thing. He decided, I'm going to do it my way. And God shut it down. In the 21st chapter, the people had been raising sand. We ain't got no meat to eat. We ain't got no steak and shake. We ain't got no Chick-fil-A. And somebody said that wasn't in the Bible. And it's like, I know that. But they probably had better than that. But we don't have that to eat. And we tired of, look, we tired of what God has given us. We tired of the smallness for right now. We tired of the smallness. We tired of God's going through the training method to train us how to trust him. We're tired of that. What we want to prosper now. We want to prosper big. We want to prosper right now. And Moses, you know what? We can go back. And God said, I can show you. And God sent fiery serpents and let them start biting the people. I'm going to teach you to believe me. I'm going to teach you to believe me. You don't think this manna is all that? That manna probably had way more nutrition than any vegetable that I could get at the farmer's market. I guarantee you it did. Guarantee you it did. I bet that manna could. Oh, you probably wouldn't have to worry about being fat and out of shape, losing eyesight. I mean, I just can imagine, but here's the deal. He's let the serpents bite them, and now I'm going to make you trust me. I'm going to give you something else you think is ridiculous. I'm going to make you look at this serpent when you bitten and you full of poison. Since you can know so much, since you can know what I should be doing, let me see you use that same methodology when I tell you now to look at this serpent to live. Go on. You know that you need a tourniquet, don't you? You know you need to cut it and somebody suck the poison out, don't you? You know that there's certain kind of herbs you can use, don't you? Those that look at this pole, irrespective of that stinging and that burning, irrespective of still all these serpents around, if you look at this brazen pole, you'll live. The Bible says in John chapter 3, that was a picture of the Christ, not the serpent, but a picture of being on the pole. And when you're infected with poison and you look into the one on the pole that's a representative of all that poison being embodied in, you'll live. You couldn't believe me over the manna, and it will sustain you. How about this one? Look at the pole. Look at the pole. You think that'll sustain you with a snake bite? But I got to train you. Numbers 21 says, shows that giants are not a problem. We think giants are the problem. That's why we're at the place we got evil taken over, and we feel that God's grace going to let us do like we want to, and God is showing that this is not it. I'm going to teach you how to fear me. I'm going to teach you that when I put that serpent on the pole, it's about me. Now I'm going to show you something else. There are giants in the land, and you're going to be afraid of the giants. Your parents were. So he says in Numbers chapter 21, which is really beautiful, he sent them out and let them beat up Og of Bashan. Then in chapter 21, verse 33, he let them go and beat up Sion first. Then they beat up Og. Why is that? The reason why he let them beat them up is that I need you to be prepared. He allowed them to be prepared because their children are going to be going into the promised land, and the children could go to activism. Your children could go to anything else because they don't trust God, and evil will take over the land. You must, in order for evil not to take over the land, have your confidence in God, have your fear in God, not what you see, but your fear and displeasing God. Never just feel like I can presumptuously do any doggone thing. Never let your own agenda do you like what happened to Moses. Well, the biggest problem is they had traitors. What is a traitor? A traitor is someone that goes against a government and try to destroy and bring and topple a government. A traitor is one that is presumptuous because he feels like he's justified many times. A traitor feels like God's not going to judge him because, you know, even if he does a little bit that's wrong, the ends justify the means, i.e. Occupy Democrat, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Atlanta, all the different groups, Antifa, etc. What happens is a traitor has no fear of God because they want their agenda done. They have no fear of the afterlife because they want it all here. And so what they'll do, they'll submit to the evil desires that they have and not fear God. Let me show you how that happens. Well, in the book of Numbers, we see somebody come against the government of God, and his name is Balaam. Balaam is hired by someone to destroy God's government and destroy God's people because we don't want to see those people get ahead. We don't want to see them get ahead. We don't want to see them as a ruling government. We don't want to see them as competing in the government of in the rules of ideas in this land. So we want to do everything we can to destroy them. I would submit to you that that is what has happened to black people. Black people have had governments. At one time, America dropped a bomb on black people in Tulsa, but most people don't talk about the president that sent that killed 4,000 black men down there in Florida and killed some of those people. You got the black people and the black Indians down there. That's where you get the word Seminole from. They don't talk about that wicked, ungodly man that was called the president. No, they don't talk about him, but I did just now. But what happened is when we get businesses, we won't give you supplies. Or we'll make it where your price costs too much, like they did to the people in Haiti. When Haiti kicked the French tail and you decided we'll boycott them. And so with your black people walking around thinking Haiti is nothing, that they're better than the people in Haiti. I would submit to you that the people in Haiti, they did more than many of us did when it comes to fighting. I'm not saying we were nothing, but Haiti won. Haiti won. And so the white governments came together against Haiti. What in the world did that have to do with traitors? Everything. Because the reason that they use traitors is because they can't figure out how to destroy us by themselves. We black people, those of us that are descendants of Abraham, we don't understand that there are traitors in our midst. One way they do trading, they trade against God, they say, well, the Bible is tampered with. Another way, all religion is the same. We're inclusive. I'm not judgmental. We're not under the law. You got a judge of all the earth, but if you're not under the law, how is he going to judge you? Everything is about mercy, but he has no judgment. How is that played out in the book of Numbers? Well, in the book of Numbers, a man named Balak, he hires someone to curse Israel, and he finds that he can't do it. But notice, this is the key of getting a traitor. It says in Numbers chapter 22, verse 17, I will promote thee to great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, I pray thee, and curse this people. The way that he curses the people is that he tricks them by letting the women come in and mix with the men. Let the men come and seduce them and not give them any. Yeah, I said not give them any. A man will use to give a woman more while he's trying to get sex with her than after he's gotten, it's like, okay, I didn't had you. I didn't really like this, or I didn't had it before. Ain't nothing special. You know, you owe me now. But before he can, flowers, candy, phone calls. Oh, he's so nice. You think he the sweetest thing you know, and that he dims the rainbow glow, but he doesn't in many cases. So what they did was they seduced him. They start eating stuff after other gods. And when they started doing this, they began in Numbers 25, they committed whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They called the people to the sacrifice of their gods. They eat, they bow down to the gods, and God cursed them. What has happened to us in America? The reason why things are so bad with us, evil is taking over because we've been seduced. Disney, BET movies, Tyler Perry movies. Yes, you got a man in drag. So I don't care if you do laugh. The Bible says the man don't wear that pertains to the woman. We not only have that going on, we have our schools teaching our children that they can have safe places, they can do LGBTQ, and they can do all of that. They can be disrespectful to the parents. We got preachers that's laying up with the boys in the church. We have preachers that are laying up with the women in the church. We have preachers that lie on God's word, say God's word don't mean what it says. We have people in activist group that they can't find one thing good that Trump has done. Come on now. You can't, I can find one thing good if I look good enough that Aleister Crowley did. He might have helped the old woman across the street. Okay? I'm just saying. You got some people that never found something good at Obama. That's not righteous judgment. We got some people right now that can't find anything good with people that call themselves Christians. I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes it's hard. Because many down there are hypocritical, but you can't say every daggone person that called themselves a Christian that none of them have any good. You ain't going to ever tell me all of them righteous either, because they had slaves, they do all kind of wickedness and ungodliness. But what we see is the traitors that come in the midst and they seduce us. Christianity has taught us to be seduced. You can do any sin you want to, and they say once you're in, you're never out. No one can pluck you out of God's hand. It doesn't matter what sin you do. They say all sin are the same. All the sin that comes short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect but the Father. And they teach you to participate in everything that comes down the pipe, whether it's politically, whether it's morally. And what they do is teach you, because they're traitors. They turn away from God Most High. And once that happens, you begin to understand, once you see clearly, it's an act of war. That's why he hired Balaam, to kill the people. And Balaam couldn't curse him, so let's get them to do things against God, like maybe, like for us, kill your own babies in the womb. Abortion. Go out and get your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want to do, and have any kind of sex you want to, the way you want to do it. Kill each other in the street and fight. Say, we don't believe in God now. We're going to do Kemet. We're going to do all the Egyptian stuff, but we're going to get rid of God's word. We don't care whether we fornicate or adulterate, because the preacher said it's okay. They're traitors. You go say, well, these people love us because this is ACLU. ACLU have never loved you. They have never been about you. We're going to go and wrap up with Black Lives Matter, but they're going to teach you that God's word is not right. We're going to get up with Marxism, socialism, progressivism. What do they stand for? They'll make you a traitor. And anytime somebody's getting you to do something that God doesn't say to condemn you, that's an act of war. You just don't see it. And so the Bible says in chapter 31, where we ended up before, it says they burnt the city of the Midianites with fire, and they took the spoil. Why? Because they had been spoiled. You don't think we've been spoiled as Black people by going ahead and having all these children not being married, separating our families, locking our children up in school, making the interest rates higher in our areas than it is in other areas, not giving us jobs? You don't think we've been systematically plundered? You don't think right now people joining with us that are traitors, destroying buildings, destroying property, and all of that in our neighborhood, you don't think that's plundering us when the insurance rates go up? You don't think that's plundering us? You don't think it's an act of war? You don't think they want that land over there by the Mercedes-Benz things? I remember when it was the Georgia Dome and they were burning down Dixie Hill. You don't think they want that any kind of way to get it? You are going to always stay on the plantation that we put you on. You're going to vote like you say, or we're going to make chaos with COVID. We're going to make chaos with different things that happen. And what we're going to do, we're going to say it's okay for you to go and destroy as long as it fits our agenda. They're trading you. They are trading you like they trade cars. They're trading you like they trade baseball cards. And they're doing it in treachery. So the Lord let them spoil them. And the reason I say that means that they had spoiled them, lex talionis, whatever they sow, that's what they reap. And then in chapter 31, where we end up at for this, it said God tell them, get the Midianites, avenge the Lord for them. We think it's just we doing wrong. We think it's just TV. We think it's just CNN. Fox, Microsoft Network, MSN, Bill Gates, Population Control Network. We think that it's just TV and news. It's bigger than that, saints. The book of Numbers show that God has a government. But people want to do what they want to, and that's why evil prevails. They feel it because of presumption. They don't fear God. They don't care anything about what he has to say or what he has to do, and they do their own thing. They're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. So the real thing, why is evil taking over? Because we have not accepted his government as a real government. We think it's a suggestive. We think it's a suggestive thing to do religiously. And as long as we think it's a suggestive thing to do religiously, we will never walk like people that are true ambassadors of a king. We'll never walk as if we are really the celebrities. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? We are supposed to be the celebrities. Why? You are the lights of the world. A city that sits on a hill. You are the lights of the world. We have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, where we're supposed to shine as the lights in the world. We are! Not no group coming together talking about we are the world, we are the children. We are. We're the children of God. The wickedness in the world so much so because we don't treat God's word as if it's ruled for a governmental kingdom. It's just church for us. With that, I'm going to close our message that, you know what? Until we start seeing this as a government, don't holler no justice, no peace. Please, please never say no justice, no peace. If you can't tell me what justice is, if you can't tell me what justice is if a man raped a woman, and you can't tell me why you say whatever penalty should be, or if somebody killed somebody, and you can't tell me why that, if you think the person should be put to death or locked up, you think they should be given probation. If you can't tell me why, then imagine, this is the question I ask people, what if God gave you the power to run the government right now? Would we have justice and peace? So you say, well, I ain't going to put the murderer to death. I say, so then what happens? The victim just have to suffer through it? I ain't going to make nobody pay back. I'm just going to forgive them. So what about when the other person has to pay a higher deductible? The insurance rate goes up, or they get counseled and they can't get any insurance anymore. That's justice? What kind of government would you have? Do you like the one that the United States have set up with their laws? They got a lot of backdoor ways for themselves to get out and bonkers to go in whenever they have stuff to go on. The kingdom of God is supposed to be in our midst. We're supposed to be ambassadors of the kingdom. But if all we want to do is be saved, don't expect to hear that from me. Expect to hear from me. How does God want to rule in our lives to make his way known? So that our children and our grandchildren can get the opportunity to grow up in a world where they effect the change. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father of mercies, I thank you for allowing me to go through and just show that even in the book of Numbers, you have truth. And yet people always look at the wicked taking over. It's because we've laid back. We presumptuously acted as if all you were about was church. We felt like your grace was only to save us. We don't fear you enough to not take over according to your will. We don't really realize in the afterlife everything we go through is worth it. So we give in to our will, not to be embarrassed, not to lose our job, not to be made fun of. Help us to grow up. Help us to be who you would have us to be. To the praise of the glory of your grace. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Did I make you think of anything tonight, Miss Abraham? Like, give me, some, did you disagree with anything, or was it something in particular that stuck out?
I didn't disagree with anything. I agree that until we can be righteous and make the judgment that God would want us to make, that we won't find any progress in the things that the people are doing with the Black Lives Movement.
The great name they chose, though, wasn't it?
We just read about Balaam and how he couldn't curse the people of Israel. Because they were God's people, he couldn't. And I've seen how, like, although David tried to do what he could and offer him all the silver and gold, he just couldn't do it. He couldn't go against God's word. And I think oftentimes, I can say for myself that in my actions, I can't quite tell why I can't do something. But now I know that it's God's way of like, that's not what that's supposed to be. So numbers definitely, it opens your eyes to how stuff should be governed and how we should actually live and not our selfish ways and what we think is right, but actually what God says is right. Because a lot of times we want to say, I'm guilty of saying, I feel like this should be this way when it's not about how I feel. Because my feelings may be different from what is actually right and what should take place. So,
what is that like? When you really feel it in your heart and you see God's word say something different.
It could be hard. It could be hard if you're not living the way God, if you're not living in his word to see why it should be this way. Because you can feel that murder is not the reason or should be the end for a person, but that's not what God said. If you kill them, you have to. So, I mean, for me, it'd be like, oh, that's kind of harsh. I know when you said that before, I was kind of like, dang, he's speaking to me. But, I mean, when you read and you see that you get time, like, you get a time. Like, God provides what you need. But sometimes for some people, it's just not good enough.
Do you think people would do as much murder if they saw people being put to death expeditiously? I'm not talking about when there's, you know, you can't prove it, but when you can prove it, you just saw Raekwon shoot Menisco in the face. Okay. You saw it cause he talked to his woman. You saw that. And so, but that's my cousin. Would you want your cousin to still live after he shot somebody and killed him? Come on.
With my feelings, yes.
So are you different than your feelings?
A great question.
I want a great answer if possible.
Not different than my feelings. I mean, they're my feelings. So, I would say at this point, until I follow God's word, I would not be.
How did you come to get those kind of feelings? Because I don't think you were born with them. I mean,
I think just experience in life. Like, you just go through life and you see certain things happen to certain people, and you just like, that's it, like, that's so wrong. And you sympathize with people, I think over the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have sympathy for that person,
mm-hmm.
so I wouldn't want anything to happen to them.
So what if you had seen 100 people that have gotten killed? Let's say we could go to Chicago or whatever, and we could find 100 families, maybe 100 children that lost their daddy or mama because somebody shot and killed them. Or just ran over them because they wanted to, or the police killed them. Or 100 mothers that have lost their children. Or 100 brothers that have lost them. Do you think you still walk away when you see the pain and suffering that they go through? What about if you saw that God said, these people are in my image. And they're killing God in effigy. You know what effigy is? You ever watch one of those pictures where they used to have what they call a voodoo doll? And they would stick it and they would make the person. That is what you use for effigy. So sometimes you'll see them hang a dummy of someone. I saw them hang one of Obama out of a woman. Out of a window, or they burn it. That's killing Obama in effigy. I saw somebody have a dummy thing of Trump, had his head cut off. That's Satan kills God in effigy whenever we murder somebody. I'm not talking about punitive. But when we get to numbers 35, we're going to find out another reason that the death penalty is there. When you shed innocent blood, it's not over. The land demands justice. Go ahead, Precious Love. Precious Love and my wife, you all.
I want to ask why the compassion goes to the murderer instead of the family that's left behind of the murder. And it's like, it's an automatic thing almost that when it comes to somebody saying, well, they should die because they killed someone, and your heart automatically goes out to the murderer. Why is that? Why is that, that's almost an instinct? It's that you've been conditioned in such a way that I don't even think about that family. If he left children, his mother, Lord have mercy, his father, you know, and the compassion doesn't go to the ones who were left behind or the person that was murdered, but it immediately goes to the murderer. And I want to know the background of that. Like, how did we arrive at that first? Because normally when I hear something like that, someone is taking someone else's life, I don't feel that. I feel like they should die. And so, and many times, other, you know, you can, the initial story is enough for me. And you can go and play on it in different ways, but it seems like it's enough for me. And it's maybe because I've read the scriptures and I understand how I sympathize with the murdered and the family that was left. And maybe that was a mother who was deprived of her only son, you know, or her daughter or whatever, and you see and you can understand it in that way, as opposed to it being that I'm going to automatically sympathize with the murderer. But I think that's the culture of America. I really do. And I think because we have been taught Christianity from the aggressor side. See, it's
can we say aggressor / oppressor?
Yes.
Okay.
It would be, it's quite natural for them to teach us that you have to forgive. You got to have compassion. Where is mercy from people who have raped you, who have pillaged you, who have actually, they've did pedophilia on your children.
Yes.
They would take your children, your little girl, when they were 10 and 12 and have sex with them and get impregnate them. So these are what we see now, these are the children of the pedophile. They never went away.
No.
That's a culture. They never went anywhere. They just now it's so hard for us to get out of hands on some to do that. We have to have an underground because it's something different happening in the culture. But you can see that it's like that. These are the same people. And of course, they've taught you Christianity from that point of view. You have to forgive. Of course, wouldn't the one who did this to you, the aggressor, tell you and teach you, you have to forgive everything.
They would.
Forgive every offense. And tell you the Old Testament is done away with because the Old Testament specifically points out retribution and restitution for everything. It's spelled out.
In this Bible right here.
This is why it was taught to us. This is why they had overseers. You can go to some Christian churches now and see if you got some people that's called overseers. But these were usually white men that stood and say, we're going to let you preach, but we're going to let you preach what we want you to preach to your people. Okay, your master. There's certain things we're going to teach you. And so it's been perpetuated because we all know that every church really is an offshoot of the Catholic Church.
Did you know that?
It's really an offshoot.
In America?
It really is. It really is that you can't be separated your institutions from the building to the way that it's set up, to the order of service. You all take this communion. You got it from them. Where you get it from? Where you get that from? When Jesus did it, it was a Passover. Why? What is this communion thing? You got it from somewhere. You don't know you inherited that. They've given you that. You've inherited lies. And it's why you all are an offshoot. That's why you all are most of you are 501c3 because you are an extension of the state. I remember when I was like, well, we're going to be able to get money. Oh, they got this thing. I can sign up for it, but I know how to read.
She does.
I know how to read. And so they was like, you can sign up for this and you can get 501c3. You can get tax exempt status and you can do all these things and you can get grants from the government to build churches and build gyms and build, you know. And I'm reading this thing and it's saying what I can't say, what I can and cannot say. You cannot say anything for or against any political party. It's like you can't say anything if the state is sanctioned something. Say if the state is sanctioned same-sex marriage. You can't say anything against it. Or your status will be taken away. And it will be retroactive in that if you've been on it 10 years and you haven't paid taxes for 10 years, the year that you say it, you got to go back and pay those taxes from those 10 years. And I said, oh, we can't do it.
And Tim wasn't reading it.
I already know.
Tim was working.
You know, like, I already know. I can't fix myself to do that. You know, if you have that mindset all the time that I won't say it. I can't fix my mind to do that. This is not worth it to me. If somebody's wicked, I won't say it. I don't care what party and religion or political party they're in. I won't say it. I don't trust myself that I can fix a right. I don't trust myself enough to just like, yeah, I'm probably not gonna say nothing anyway. No, I'm probably gonna say something. And so I can't do this. I was like, I read this and I can't do it. I can't make myself check that box and say, okay. And so I said, well, that means that we can never ask for donations. Even though we were never asking for donations anyway, you know. But just just people will, even when you sign up for like podcasts and things, they'll say that there's a box and they're going to set up where you can accept donations. All these things are set up that way. So I was like, we weren't accepting donations and that was fine with me, you know, asking anybody for anything. And it's like, I can't do this. So, you know, if the family want to give, they're going to have to give because they want to give, you know. It's going to be a family thing. If the family needs something, we're going to give it. If the family want to give something, they can give it. It's a family thing. This is us building as a family. But if you need a receipt and you want to write it off on your taxes, don't give. Do not give. We don't want it. Keep it. We're good. He worked. I got skills. We don't need it. I got hands. He got hands. The Lord has blessed us that way. And so it's like seeing that in the way that everything is driven towards you being submitted to the system, to the state, to the government in their way.
It's like you got a Balaam right there all the time.
Yeah. And it's like.
And then you can do it if you're Democrat. Truly, you can let any other politician come in and rub you on the bottom and preach in your pulpit and make you the most wicked, ungodly man, but because you got a political position.
I mean, I remember when they did some tomfoolery. I'm going to say some wickedness. And they're going to call. I guess they realized that we didn't vote for Obama. And Obama had this thing out for people who didn't vote for him. That he's going to stick the IRS on them.
Yep.
And they came for us. They came for us. They did. They came
for us. For real.
Yes. And they made up some stuff. They lied. Oh, my God. But that ain't shocking to me, though. They lied and said, you know, you got $15,000 for one job that you didn't record.
You know, I'm probably getting $15,000 for
$15,000
for a 4-hour job, dear. How many? We would at least do 3 a day, maybe 4, right? I have enough sons, okay?
Yeah.
All 4 of them are living. We 4, 8, 12, 16, okay? We would be doing that. We if we had to work shifts, we'd be around the clock. We would have to do it for about a year. It was 19.
This is what I'm saying.
I think it was 19,000. I think I supposed to make
19,000.
In 4 hours. I mean, I'm worth that.
And that's like,
every job's not worth that.
The man, it was like, did you do that? He was like, no, I did not do. They are lying. They are lying. I didn't do that.
Back during the days of Lois Lerner, a lot of people don't know nothing about her. Andrina, tell about our phone calls. When you found out that people listen to our phone calls.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know what we were talking about.
The Lord.
Oh, I'm going to cut you off, though.
Okay.
So hold it, Lord. So
okay.
You said something interesting about how all the churches are connected to
the Catholic Church.
And we were kind of having a conversation about that earlier,
mm-hmm.
about the origins of all that stuff. And it's interesting that they teach this in school and in the American government. Separation between
church and state.
But they behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They not behind. They straight up.
You're right.
But,
in a way.
You being behind the scenes to a person that don't have their lenses on, their glasses on, to know that but y'all actually combined.
All connected.
It's all connected. So I thought that was.
Yeah, it is. And
And for people that don't understand how she can say all of the churches are really connected to Catholic, well, you may say that you're separate from them. Okay, but do you have a bishop? Where do you think that came from? Presbytery. But see, during the time after Constantine, the so-called Great, did what he did, then you had the East and the West, you had your Orthodox, you had your Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us that I know of, we going to come from the time whenever Henry VIII wanted to separate from the Catholic Church, and they wouldn't let him do it. He didn't want to separate. He wanted a divorce. They wouldn't let him do it. So he and the Pope went back and forth with each other. So he started his own Church of England. And there you get the Episcopalian Church. So they separated, and then Martin Luther did his writing, and he separated. You know, they really wanted to kill him, get rid of him, so you get the Lutheran. So you have Catholic and Protestant. You have John Calvin with the Reformers. And that's why the Church of England right now, over there, is that queen woman over there in England, and you got Wicked Charles, and you got those boys or whatever, but that's the Church of England. And from there, you get the Moravians. John Wesley, you know, he came, learned stuff from the Moravians, and they called them Methodists, or the Methodists. He did stuff, and from there, you get your holiness movement. From your holiness movement, your Church of God in Christ, you get people coming in from Europe from what they call the Plymouth Brethren, and then you get the dispensationalism. So you really see a lot of that come, really stuff that is happening in around the 15th century gets really, really big. And so you get all these denominations. That's why I told a lady yesterday, she was talking about King James Bible is the only Bible. I said, well, don't think that the translators didn't have any bias. I use King James. I said, but you can go on Google and type in translators of the King James Bible and put in images. A lot of times you get to see they were different religions and none of them were black.
Right.
And you look at what their religion stands for and you say, you mean tell me they were biased when they did what they did? Why it's good to be able to use tools and look behind English. I hope to have you proficient in that before this year is over. Yes, sir.
You know,
my precious love.
It's the what they say now. Even now when they came to.
Didn't the Pope say he gave us Sunday?
Came to Kim Copeland, they got it because he's like one of the deep Protestant churches in America. And they came to him and they stood on his pulpit and he said, you know, the protest is over. So, what you got from the Roman Catholic Church, they took over everything. They took over all forms of religion. And they said, well, we have people that say, you protest, you all do indulgences. You say, pay us a little bit of money, you can go and rape somebody. Okay?
It's called an indulgence. We're
going to lay our hands on you and say you feel safe. You know, we can give you, if you pay us $1.25, you can molest a child. You can steal. You can kill. And this is how they built up the Vatican. This is how they built St. Peter the
Basilica.
This is how you see, when you look at it and you say, look at all this gold. That's real gold. All that stuff is real gold. That chalice he holds. All that stuff is real gold. Because they were selling indulgences. And they say, you pay us some money. Tell me this ain't what the tithe is. You pay us some money and you can do whatever you want to do as long as you pay this money. And we absolve you of all the sins you do. And so this is what I'm saying, and this all of, so you get the Protestant church. They are the protesters. We protest the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church. Y'all doing stuff that is not right. We don't approve of it. We want to separate from you. And so this is where you get all the churches, and they say the protest is over. You all come home. All of you all are Catholic. You all are Catholic. You all are Roman Catholics, and you got mad at one point, and now the madness is over. Come home. You all are, come on. Come on back home. We've all declared you under us. That we rule over you. And they said, well, how did you get to rule over us? Well, we decided that the Sabbath day would be Sunday. We decided that. And so how did that get to be? Well, we decided it, and guess what? You did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our authority. You start understanding that just because somebody says something and you followed it, that gives them authority. Their word has authority over you. This is how you worship on Sunday. Then you make all these excuses and say, you know, well, they met on Sunday and they gathered together on Sunday in the New Testament. And you know, well, it don't matter what day you serve. The Catholic Church says it does. Don't talk to them and tell them they got it wrong. Tell them they got it wrong. Don't tell me that's not what we're doing. Go tell them they got it wrong. Because you don't move from it. You won't move from it. It's ex cathedra, right?
Spoken by the Pope.
If his word. And you want to say that's not what it is. That's not what it is. Well, stop doing it. We'll see what happens. If that's not it, you want to say it's every day. But you don't worship on every day.
So you got the government of.
Stop lying.
You got the government of them. And that is why Martin Luther wrote his 98 theses. Because Johann Tetzel was saying, when your money in the coffer clings, a soul from purgatory springs. They were selling, buying people out of hell.
Yeah.
And purgatory is not hell like we think. It's the place where you get purged from your sin. So you go through a little bit of punishment, and you pay enough money, you can get your mama out or your cousin.
The Bible says you get purged right here, right now. Don't get purged here, ain't no more. There ain't no, there is no purgatory. You get purged right here. You get pruned right here. And then there's the judgment. You don't get, that's no in between.
It's not.
But this is what you teach people. And you've been taught, you've been given religion to you from your oppressor. And they've taught you this. They taught you, we are not supposed to forgive. We're not supposed to say anything. And that keeps righteousness from being in the earth. If I don't tell you, brother, you can't steal from me and get away with it. I'm going to tell you, you got to pay back. And you got to pay back for. You got to pay me back. I can't. Well, you know, he just, well, the Bible says you're supposed to forgive. Where? Show me that in here. I can't. But that's what they teach you in the place with the steeple on the top. The phallic symbol. That's what they teach you. And they don't teach you to do righteousness. But the government going to exact it from you. But they're not going to give it to the person that you stole it from. They're going to keep it. They're going to keep it. And they're going to lock your black behind up.
Yeah, they're going to
work
behind.
You. They're going to work you for 5 years and never pay the person you stole from. They're going to keep it all for themselves. And it's like, if you trust this unrighteous system to say, hey, they're the ones that, well, we need to listen to the government and obey the law. And this is what, like, you don't have anything else in mind? There's no law above this? Unrighteousness, would you call it unrighteousness when you see somebody die from it? It's always unrighteous. It's always, you always steal it from us. That extra $3.13 on my bill, you steal it from me.
Wonder.
You steal it from me. But you will, I stopped you because you didn't have your seatbelt on. What if I don't care about my, what if it choke, what if it's choking me and I don't want it on?
Actually, it was because you're short.
Yes. You didn't have your seatbelt on. I did have my seatbelt on. I had my arm over it because I'm not going to be decapitated if something happened to me. But you didn't have it on. I didn't see it. Steal it from me. You're stealing. And if we're not sick of this government, if we're not sick of this world, something is terribly wrong with us. Something is wrong. We are a part of it. We are a part of the injustice. We love it so much that it's okay. And we can sit back and say, yeah, well, if it's enough that I go out here and it's like, I was tired of being in the house anyway. I'm glad them black folks went out there and decided they wanted to go out and march. Hell, if they don't let them march at that social distance, I'm going to go out too. They've been having us on lockdown and we can't do anything. And you'll find that there are rebels among us. It's not us. These are people who have said, I'm sick of this, and they ain't brave enough to stand up and say, I'm sick of you all telling us we got to be vaccinated, and we got to take certain medicine, and we got to be tested for COVID. And y'all have laid us locked down, and we can't go to work, and we can't hardly go to the store, and we can't go to the beach and to the playground, and we tired. That's what people see. That's why it's a mixed multitude. We like, everybody is with us. They care about black people now. Oh, they feel like...
Don't be
get
a stupid.
Get your head out of the cloud. These people are tired of being cooped up, and they say, if you're going to let these black folks come out and do it and don't arrest them, we coming out too. We're going to burn it down. Burn it down. Burn it down. Burn it down. Most of it is yours anyway. You the one. You're your own enemy. Burn it down.
But do it in our neighborhood so we'll be we have to go somewhere else to do something, let us get the blame. That's the same thing as false witness. So they clamp down on us more. Because you're going to blame us for COVID. And we hadn't put together anything genetic. We hadn't sent anything over to China. We had done, but you did that. And so you start putting people that die with heart attack, stroke, kidney, and you put COVID on the thing. And you don't have a medical examiner checking it out. You don't even give a test, but you just do it because you're going to get money, you're going to get benefit, and you're going to do something we black people. You're going to make us get a vaccination. You want to sterilize us even more and more. And what happened is we don't know God's government and we don't know our power. We let them become our priesthood. And what we end up with is like, you know what? Until God determines I'm going to slap y'all upside the head hard enough, it maybe one day we'll get it. Because it seems like we don't want it.
And they come knock on your door and say you have to do it. And they drag you out like they were playing and say, we don't come to your house.
And who is Dr. Fauci? Go look at his reputation of how he got built up with AIDS, okay? Go look at it. Don't tell me Trump had him, but understand something. When you got a DOJ, a CIA, and you got all of those different people, FBI, working against you, there are some things you'll find yourself doing because when you don't have enough people to back you up, you ain't, I don't care if you king. If the people won't do what you say, if you're president, you're governor, you won't do what they say. But I'm telling you now, people right now with all the mess that's going on, they're not even letting you see on the news all the time, the mess that's going on in Washington, the stuff that was going on with Hillary, the stuff that was going on with Flynn and Papadopoulos, they have distracted the people again so that when this thing goes, they're going to keep it quiet, and we don't see. They are changing the government before our eyes, okay? This is what's happening. They are changing. They are putting laws in place right now. And one of the men running for president said, I'm going to vote for that LGBT stuff as soon as I'm president. I'm going to vote for that.
If I get in, I'm
going to
do the Equality Act.
Yeah, you pedophile. That's his name. I call him the pedophile.
And if we haven't realized that we have no representation.
None.
We have no representation. I don't, as many as I hear and I see and I listen to and I read the platform, it's like, none of this. I cannot agree with any. Like, if I would have to say I'm going to take something all together, I can't do it. And I'm just sick of these beige and pink people. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. Because they refuse to do righteousness. They refuse to do it. It's always some backside agenda, some backroom deal. Something that they just like, yeah, I'll say it, but when it's time to do it, I'm not going to do it. I'm tired of that Negro that was in there and didn't do anything.
Say it.
And his Negro wife.
Say it. But then people get out, oh, he sounds so, look, what about this one? He sounded so presidential. And what did that actor say? I taught him how to do it.
Yes.
Really? The one that played Braxton.
He said he shadowed him. I remember with Bill Clinton, they say Bill Clinton, we wanted him to run for president. And it's like, he couldn't go up there like that. He had this light, this drawl. And I'm like, he can't speak like that. And he went to acting. He had acting lessons. And they taught him how to speak. They taught him how to do public speak, how to do his hands. How long to hold a word, how to give emphasis, and all that. Well, they said, this guy said, they use me. But Obama said, well, you see him, that's me. And this dude played him. That's what I'm sorry about. Your first family. He said, I've been an actor all my life. I'm trained. And so it's like, you have to train. It's not the first time. Ronald Reagan had to be trained. This is not the first time. And so when you say, oh, they don't look presidential. What is acting?
And we ain't being real with you.
This is acting. And you all have bought into this thing. judging according to appearance and never judging righteous judgment. This dude did nothing for you. Nothing.
What did he do for the kingdom of God? Let's really cut to the chase. Because if he had done something, because if he had done something for the kingdom of God,
oh,
you'd have benefited.
Yeah. Cool. They would have been against it.
But if you were LGBTQ and all of those things,
if
you
he would have been no abortion, they would have hated him too.
No more abortion of black children, ever.
Yeah. They would have been mad at him for that. Anything righteous, black people don't. It's just that if you just give us another subsidy
His name is Christopher Duncan.
Christopher Duncan.
That's the one who taught him how to do it.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you do.
Researching it to see if it's true. Because a lot of stuff is out there, but I definitely know that they do go through a process where they have to be trained how to be in front of an audience because they're chosen. Not like you, stupid. Not like you. There was a little girl that did a research project, and she found out that every president is related. They're all related to each other. How's about that keeping it in the family? That's some big time nepotism. And you think, and we sit on it, we argue with each other about your slave master is. My slave master better than your slave master. Biden, he better than Trump. Trump, he better than Biden. What? He's supposed to represent you. You have no representation. You have none. Because if you had another choice, you look at it. It's like, I really don't want him, and I really don't want him. But, I would have chose Bernie. Bernie is sweet. Bernie is. He's just for the black people. But they said, no, you can't have him. And what you do? God was the enemy when Bernie was a factor. Biden, he ain't this, he's not that, he's stupid, he's an idiot, he's done such and such with Ukraine, his son, and all this stuff. And then as soon as Bernie is not a factor, Biden is everything, he's fine. He everything. He's a man. Oh, he is so good, and he is so much better than Trump. Do you see the idiocy of this? It's crazy. And that you refuse to turn and say, this is righteousness. The word of God, this is righteousness. This is proper judgment. This is how we ought to choose someone. And if you don't give us the option, we're going to give ourselves the option.
And that's what we're going to have to do as the people of God. We have to learn God's platform and say, this is what I stand for.
Exercise
it in your own life. Exercise it in your assembly. Exercise it. Then you can demand it. But if you want somebody else to implement it, you have no clue.
Yeah, we're sorry. Well, we'll just let them rule it, then whatever they come up with, then we'll vote on it. What you vote for? They've already decided that they're going to give you somebody who half of the time can't remember to finish his sentence.
That is quite amazing. For real. Is anybody on the conference line?
And somebody who clown all the time.
I can do more push-ups than you.
He be clowning. Trump is a clown. I mean, like, I'm telling you, he is a clown when they say, well, he's not presidential. He know how to say stuff. I had a word for him.
I know you say he's funny.
I had a word for him. He's funny, yes, but there's another word I had for him. I can't remember it right now, but it's like, oh, I say he's the number one star. He's going to always say something. That's gonna be like, what the heck? And then you think about him, it is so hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's so hilarious. And it's like, I would have never known that he was like that from that show. From that television show he was on with The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
He never did any of that. I would have never known that he would be so striking. And it's like, I didn't know this guy. Who is this guy? Who is this guy that says anything that's in his mind? But this is what rich people do.
And what the Bible said about him.
Rich people don't have to use entreaty. They don't have to be nice. They don't have to speak softly. They can say whatever they want to say. And this is him. And so he can say, hey, of course, I've done more for you black people than anybody. Even old Abe Lincoln. You know Abe did a lot of stuff. But I'm going to go further than that. He didn't do more. See? That proved me wrong. And he named it.
Then he got mad because he went through a list.
And I'm like, oh, such arrogance. You know, but if it was Obama, you'd be like, yeah.
We have partiality and judgment. I want to see that. I've had enemies that there was some good about them and stuff I respect, and I left them alone. But there's some enemies that I've had that's like, he'll kill me. Now, I ain't talking about beat me up. Kill.
He don't
have the same restraints.
No. Understanding it. You can't, it's a different mindset. Wickedness has a different mind.
Yes.
It's like, it's hard to understand.
But it's going to conquer one way or the other by stealth,
yeah,
deceit,
it's hard
or force.
Understand. It's like, and if you don't step back from it, you know, if you think you got to be always in it and indulging in it and choosing a side, you got to step back. You got to step back and say, let me see it. Because I'm not really seeing it. I'm so in it, I can't see it. And we're arguing with each other about, yeah, but my slave master Biden, he sure better than Trump. You know, and then you're having this huge argument with somebody about neither thing that really is really profiting you in a way that it should.
Yeah.
In a way that our ancestors left for us. They left us an inheritance. They just refuse to give it to us. They just refuse to honor it.
They make a lot of treaties with the black, the dark-skinned people.
Yeah.
And you erase our genie.
We love to have 40 acres. They say it'll be, but it can be upgraded now.
But the dollar cost average would be a lot more.
And $100. I would just love to have 40 acres. What we can do with 40 acres each.
And they've tried to do genocide on us so much. And we're still here. We are like the biggest problem.
We are the
biggest problem. I mean, when they tell you that, you know, you are not really a people.
Yeah.
And then you got this woman, Elizabeth Elliot. She's supposed to be all for black people. She keep talking about all the 800,000, all the years of evolution. That's a goddamnable lie. Yes. I don't care. You might say 10 things good, but we didn't goddamn evolve, okay? We did not evolve.
Right. Listen,
Yeah, because when you talk about the evolution, that's what that's what y'all use to kill us. That's what you use to pillage us. That's what you use to treat us like you want to make mulatto bastards out of our children. That's what the Mormon church used to say that we were cursed. That's what the Jehovah's Witness used to use to say that we were cursed. And some of the Christian people treated us like we were cursed off of that. And to this very day, you still feel like you're better than us. The Supreme Court, Dred Scott, Justice Cheney said pretty much the same dadgum thing, and Thomas Jefferson said, get you some niggas. They make good property. That's why he wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Property, not dadgum happiness. Don't play. Don't play. You never have loved us. And when you find somebody that does love you, if they find out for real, they'll call them, a nigga lover. I don't want to say N-word. I want to say what you really call them so you can feel the burn. You ever heard that before? Feel the burn? Yeah. I want Bernie Sanders to stand up for me, but what have you ever done for us before? What do you ever do with you getting paid off of this election stuff? Let me tell you something. I don't know anybody that want to stand up for the righteousness of God. And when you don't want to stand, I don't even know many preachers that want to really stand up for the righteousness of God, okay? You think about it.
Let me tell you how alive people really are. These rich people stand up on the stage. A whole lot of them are rich.
Very wealthy.
And they start talking about each other like, Like, what does Bernie have to say? Because he has three houses. How many do you have? How many incentives have you gotten from being in Congress?
And your wife and Maxine Waters, husband, and wealthy.
And this is when he started trying to explain why he has three houses. And it's like, how am I supposed to relate to that? But you all are going against each other as if. None of you are rich. All of you are rich.
Ted Kennedy used to do that crap.
And you condemn each other as rich people. In the words of Tim Mary, shit, like.
Hey.
I ain't gonna say that. Like, shut up. But you want us to vote for you. And you want us to go out and campaign for you. And ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We have to wake up. It's ridiculous. If we didn't go out to vote, they'll choose whoever they choose.
And do to us whatever they choose to do until the most time stops
them. It's just a gauge to see where you stand. It's just a gauge like they do every other thing. It's just a gauge. What you hear.
Okay, yeah.
You're not really going to get anything.
You trying to say something, Gary?
I thought I had an unmute. I was telling the children okay.
If the children want to say something, it is okay.
I said hello.
She answered hello. They said hello. Don't stop, though.
Shit, don't stop, Andrina.
You said it's just a game. It's a game.
It's just a game, and we're not even playing. Like, I told Tim it's like a race. When they say race relations and, you know, what's happening with that, it's like those cartoons you see. Where they all supposed to start off at the same point. And then you have this person that goes and they set booby traps for the other people, you know. And I'm racing against you, so I'm going to set up certain obstacles. I'm going to put a hole in a road. I'm going to set a detour sign. They're showing you what they do. They're showing you that they have a concept of what a race really is. We think it's the color of your skin. We so stupid. We think it's the color of your skin. It really is a race. And it is a race for dominance. It's a race for power. It's a race for resources. This is why they decided to get together and divide up the African continent and everybody get some peace. Because we don't want to keep fighting with each other. You get that peace. You get that peace. We get this peace. And we're going to go at it. And we're going to have dominance because we understand the race because we made it up.
And we made the movie Black Panther, and we show you how y'all got something we want, and we're going to get it.
The whole thing. Now, The creator's gonna have more power, really, because you created this whole thing. And I was watching a video in 1904. They was had that boy. What's that little boy? Otabinga.
When they put him in a cage.
They brought him over from Africa and had him in a cage with monkeys. And they gonna, you know, do all these things. And they gonna, well, we didn't really do that, you know. He was smart like everybody else. But no. You brought him over as an exhibit.
You did.
To prove evolution.
That's true. And I got it in my book, Medical Apartheid.
But see, when you don't know that, when most people don't know that the whole evolutionary paradigm was set up against the natural order, the godly order.
That's right.
What God set up.
And they got
to say, we're going to go the opposite way. Why?
And they got their own tree of life, too.
Because we the lowest. They the best. We the lowest. Let's go the other way. We the best. They're the lowest. You set up an entire system against God. And you said, you know what? They don't even know we've done it. But we're going to make it seem like that. This is a smart thing to know this system. You're going to be so wise if you know this system. But we're going to design it for it to be taught in all of your schools.
Everyone. We're going to teach your children your God don't exist. We're going to teach them about a lesson.
We're going to reduce you down to an animal. And we're going to raise us up to the most highest being on earth.
I.e. Tarzan.
And everything that comes from our hands is going to be to exalt us. Everything you see on TV is us. Even if we play somebody that ain't even white, it's us. We Egyptians, it's us. We built the pyramids, it's us. We the cowboys, it's us. You were not the cowboys.
No. Black people from Angola.
You lied about everything. You taught us that and you brainwashed us over and over and over. Repetition. Repetition. Did you know our sight words? It's Repetition. Write it.
Even Gilligan Island made all the black people savages and headhunters. They were never seen in good light. Dude, I can remember, and I used to come home and watch.
This is wickedness. They think it's just that, these, well, I guess they just want to be so bad. No. This is evil. This is wickedness. This is witchcraft. And you've found a way to get power over the air from the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. And you're going to broadcast this everywhere, every day, all day, repeatedly, over and over and over again. And every time somebody fly in to save somebody, they're going to be white. And the black man, when he gets to be a superhero, guess what? He can just get shot. And what? He can get shot and not die? Why he can't fly? Why his hammer? Why he don't have a Thor hammer? He can get shot. He's a hood hero. Go out there and get shot. Like him. You must live. You can be super like. That's the kind of stuff they do. Everybody that comes to a school, they white, they gonna say that all these little black and Hispanic children in it. They all run from the girls.
Was it that one time about as I walked through the valley of the shadow?
Yeah,
I can't remember. It was a school.
Look, dangerous mind. What?
And
propaganda.
And you see how they were covering up that stuff with Ahmaud Arbery so hard. You hear me? They were covering it up. And I'm telling you, I got a thing in there from Epoch News. I hadn't gone through it yet, the chart of all the stuff they did against Trump. Somebody said, why are you bringing that up? Because if you can do this to a billionaire, and he's president, and you still do stuff, all those leaks and things that were coming out, what can they do to us? We better, if you can ever learn what they did to him, whether you like him or not, and you don't understand, you can't fight it. Go ahead, precious love.
Andrew, do And then you start saying, why are you saying that? And then you start looking, it's like, it really is fake news. They making the news.
And they reading the script.
I remember the days when it wasn't that way. That you can turn on a different station and they're not saying the same thing. But it's like, you go from one station to the other and they all saying the same thing.
Remember Neil Bortz used to say, They gonna have somebody come on and say the news.
Say the news. Yeah. And it's like, we don't realize that we've been propagandized. That we've been led to believe some things. Over. I remember when I told you, I said, I just found out that CNN just paid airports, paid bus terminals. Anywhere you're gonna sit and you're gonna be, they paid them. That their station would be played. Paid for it. And they gave it to us. And they got the monopoly. So it's like, why am I going to these restaurants and I'm seeing CNN? Why CNN everywhere? I hate CNN. Yeah. Why am I seeing this everywhere? When I went into the airport, it's like, CNN on. When I went into This Is It, CNN is on. What? Something is wrong with this picture. So now, I start listening to people and I was like, well, there's no way you all could be saying the same thing. How can people from different walks of life, and I mean different walks and I mean different social and economic levels, can be saying the same thing?
I'm going to tell you what.
And how is that happening?
This is what happens in court. In court, if in court,
it's a script.
Everybody's saying the same thing. They'll say you colluded.
That's right. They will be like, no, we can't accept this. Because some detail got to be different. Oh, yeah. How is it that you all are regurgitating the same thing? Sorry, I can write it down and know what you're getting ready to say next.
Some people call it the Clinton News Network. And they say, and everybody will say, Fox is racist. First of all, if you got enough money, you control a lot of the mass media. You're not doing it to uplift black people. So in the true sense of racism, that you are out to make sure that you maintain power, would you want to lose your power, Carissa? If you was in charge of where you worked, if you were in charge, would you want somebody new coming in taking your place? Would you do anything you could to keep them from taking charge? Okay.
They called it control. Where you get, they say, well, we kind of might not with that, but then we only going to go so far. And then I've heard them say some things. I'd be like, I don't know how you justify that. I'm trying to figure out how you got that from that. But I understand that you are controlled opposition. And you say, well, you know, these people just want to start a race war. And then these other people saying, well, they're racist. And I'm saying, leave us out of it. If the North and the South go fight, let them kill each other. Leave us out of it. Leave us out of it. If y'all fight with each other, if the Nazis try to fight the Jews, what they call the Jews.
But they both are German.
They Germans, but you know they don't have the same ideology. They've been killing each other, fighting each other. They always come out. What about black on black? Y'all been white on white killing each other for centuries.
Yes. And then raping and robbing and pillaging and filling the Vatican with black people stuff.
We learned that from y'all. If that was true, then there should be no Africa. If blacks killing blacks all the time, everywhere, all day, every day, and that's the problem, it shouldn't be in Africa. That ain't happening. That's happening here because we are America's children. Taught us to kill each other because y'all do it. How many of y'all have went out in the streets when, what's his name, all these rapists, these white men go out and rape all these women? Foster Strangler.
Ted Bundy.
How many of y'all walk march through the street and what? Say, we ain't going to have this and we got to stop this white on white crime?
What about the
dude? Say that to us.
What about the black, the white dude that shot Reagan I think he out of prison now. Yeah. He killed a president. Do you think if you had killed a president, my son, that you'd be out of prison?
It's some Negroes that just had lights of weed in their car. Or just a piece of crack rock. And they gone for help.
I read on Facebook somebody stole $9 and spent 37 years in prison. Is that a justice system or a legal system?
And so he want to say, well, this, it's racism, it's not the skin and DNA.
Shut your face. Shut your face and sew your lips together so you won't be tempted to be foolish anymore with your
like
mouth.
Like P. West say, these low information people.
The internet, you can research this stuff. You know this. And so it's like, if we don't collectively see that we have no place, we have no voice, unless we collectively agree on righteousness. See, many of us have, we got this Al Sharpton thing.
He was on TV today, run that mouth.
I can get mine, forget about everybody else. They going to give me a television show. I can have my show, and I can make money. Forget about everybody else. I'll sell everybody else down the river.
I'll snitch if I have to.
I'll say that I speak for all black people everywhere all the time, and I say they don't need anything, but I need my TV show. I need to be able to show up everywhere and be the spokesman for black people. Bruh, you don't speak for me.
We didn't let him speak one time when when our son died.
You don't speak for me. See, these are the times I felt that, like, you want to say something, but it's like, I feel the move, like you steering me in a certain direction. And it's like, you got this person to call, and then the next step is to go on CNN, and the next step is to go on the Breakfast Club, and the next step is to go on CBS Morning, and the next step is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel you're not getting ready to use me. Like that. You're not going to use me because I know that's what you're doing. And the end result is we're going to give you a check. I don't want a check. I want somebody to pay.
Yes.
I don't want a check. I want somebody to go to jail or die. I don't want that. And it's like, but you feel it. You feel that I'm pushing you in this direction. Hey, meet with these people. Hey, listen to what they got to say. Hey, we wanna get you up and you can get in front of a camera. No! If a camera is involved, justice should be able to take place anywhere. You don't have to be in front of a camera. You want the nation to know, I don't care. I'm caring about my child right now. Talk about the nation. We get to that later.
Preach.
Where you supposed to forgive?
Where's your fruit? It's meat for repentance. What you gotta think? What you think about that, young man? So you've been sitting there sucking it up like a sage. So that your most frustrating part. That if you could change, you would change it right now. And what would it be?
Just for all of us?
If God gave you power to make one change right now, what would it be? Make one change for justice.
Oh, goodness, man. Folk got to die. Folk got to be killed. Gotta be dealt with. Once you cross certain lines, that's sufficient time. Correct yourself on some things. It's just time for you to correct yourself.
Wonder what the world would be like if God instituted His righteous penalty for things that we do for a year to show us what it would be like, to let us see, and when it happened. And we know why this person was stricken, why this person was made sick, why this person died. And would we how much difference we would see and people not robbing, raping, pillaging, murdering. Then if God did it himself, would we be like, God shouldn't kill him. God shouldn't. God was wrong for that. But I, in my mind, if you saw how it operated, I bet you would see people afraid to do stuff. You would see men not cheating on their wives.
Yeah, I think that would be my one thing I could change. If I could change that, black people would speak the same righteous judgment in the Lord. If I can get you all to agree on what righteousness is and to do it and execute it, because that's the purpose. That's the purpose of you being here.
For real.
What's the purpose of you being here? So you can learn from the heathen and do what they do? You've already done that to no profit. Some people got to profit, and I'm sure they have many regrets. And that's why you said, I got to keep multiplying money, and I got to have this, and I got to have that, because you know the fulfillment is not there. But you want to just say, it's worth it because I have this money, but at some point, money doesn't even matter anymore. You're out of the range of competition. You're out of the range of, you can't even touch the people you would like us to go around and say, hey, I got money, I want to give you some. You're forbidden to do that. So if people, we could agree on what righteousness is and to execute it, because that was the problem with Israel. That was a problem with our forefathers, that they were divided. You know, they said, well, we shouldn't be doing it. Well, maybe we shouldn't kill. Maybe we ought to forgive. And maybe we shouldn't just go out and just, you know, I don't really want to be first to put my hand to him, even though I know he did it. And he says to put the evil away from among you.
And don't pity and don't spare.
And it's like, and we've allowed evil to linger and to be comfortable. And we're laying down with it.
But I ain't gonna have you have an old boyfriend like, hanging around. Y'all laying around talking.
They're gonna come get your children and lay down with your children.
They will.
What will it take? What will it take for you to say?
A heart transplant. Love? Heart transplant. That's all I can see. And so when we start doing that, if I know people have a problem with God executing his righteous judgment, then it's like, God, it's like there's no hope for us. We just got to do it anyway.
I want to ask a question because I kind of think about this. Because truthfully, I'm ready to kill some people. I got to be real about it. In righteous judgment. Injustice. It's like, if the Lord say, and if he appear and it's time, I will Jael somebody. Okay? Sister will come in my tent, somebody he needs some refuge, and he needs something to drink. I will stick tent peg through his head. Because when you start seeing so much unrighteousness on the earth, and it's like, why doesn't you start saying, why is it existing this way? And do I blame God for that? When I know what's righteous, when I know that there is a decree laid down and what should be done to the unrighteous, and then I come and I see, well, okay, well, you know, I can say, well, that's the Old Testament. But then I see in the New Testament, it says, but the law is for the lawless. It's for those who do these things. And so that means I need to go back to the Old Testament and see what was prescribed in that law and how it's supposed to be handled, how murderers are supposed to be handled. And so I feel like you gotta wait on the Lord. But it's like waiting on the Lord is like, am I waiting on the Lord that I already know what he said? Or do you get what I'm asking? Or can you feel
It just sounds like you're saying if God told you to do it, you do it. But see, even they got to have a court, at least they got to have a tribunal before they would execute the judgment.
Okay.
If it wasn't two or three witnesses, you couldn't just do it. It had to be two or three witnesses.
Okay.
So what my goal would be is to change the laws, or at least have a place where we can say, this is how we're going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to do it by God's laws. And what I mean, penalty. What did he say is the, what did he say would happen if you steal? What did he say if you don't have the money to pay back?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know yet what the stripes would be for when they would whip your butt. But I'm sure I can learn. When it comes to rape, when it comes to, like, when you go in somebody's house and you kill an old woman, if we really find out you did it, once we do the decree, we're going to put you to death. If I have to be the first one, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing was to make other people fear to remove it.
Right.
It wasn't, and stealing, it wasn't about rehabilitation. That's something that came out of the heart of man. God said restitution. So that'll rehabilitate you. When you pay it, like, let's say this right here. I think I paid $185 for it.
I got to get paid four
though? Yeah. So some things would be only two.
Okay.
On the working ox, four.
Right. Four.
No, five.
Five.
And on, I think it's the sheep. Yeah, one of them you do four, one of them you
and
do.
Pay a fifth.
Yes, and then on money you did a fifth. So on this one, I'd have to determine, I'd go back and look in the law. This might be one that you had a fifth to. But if you couldn't buy it for the same price, you got to restitute this. So if you say if it's double, like my gun, for those that's watching on Facebook, this is an electrostatic gun that I use for COVID. No, it's a different kind of gun. It's a gun that actually charges things and wraps stuff around to kill COVID. But anyway, $620. So if somebody stole their gun, they couldn't just get that because the gun cost more than that. So you got to do restoration because it didn't say whatever the sheep cost. It said sheep for sheep. So you got to do sheep for sheep. And you got to add to it. And then on some cases, if you sold it, it goes up to four, I believe. So then what ends up happening is, if you didn't have the money, by the time you become an indentured servant, they would call it a slave, a bond slave, till you pay it off maximum 7 years. You would be thinking that whole time, I could have just bought me one. I could have just bought me one.
Yeah.
Now I'm paying for four, and I don't get to keep one. But the slave owner wasn't supposed to be beating you, raping you, you know. But you owned.
You weren't the owner.
No.
You can't own a Hebrew.
So you.
He's just a servant until the debt is paid off.
And then when he leaves, you don't let him leave empty.
Mm-hmm.
You get him some something.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful? Ain't nothing better than the gracious law of God. I got some books over here. They really talk about the government of God. You want one? You want one, Miss Abraham? You all want one? Somebody tell me they want one. If I see them print on there that they want one of these books right here, great book. It's a great primer to learn. You want this book? Let me see you put it on the web that you want it. I'll give it to you free. As a matter of fact, yes, precious love. As a matter of fact, if I see it on there tonight, not only will I do it, I'll pay for the shipping. It ain't asking for no donation. Go ahead.
Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people.
Come on.
That taught their children.
Yes.
How to rule your children.
By using what?
By using God's word.
The Hebrew scriptures.
And they said that they were entitled to your inheritance.
Yes.
These are the people that teaches their children that this terra, this earth, is theirs to possess it. Your inheritance.
Yes. Because we painted ourselves into the picture.
And because we've been taught church.
Okay, I see one person. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
Brother Jeremiah. Message me the information where I need to send it, address, that I'll send it to. If you live in another country, then I just pay it. I've already said it, I would.
Right.
Message it to me, and so that I can, when I go out tomorrow, the Lord's will, I will send that to you, because you did it right away. So anybody else that did it, I'm gonna have to get Andrew one. I know him, so I'm gonna get Andrew. Andrew, I can give you yours face to face in 2 days. Because he's right there at the assembly where I want to teach. Andrew Cheek. He only did it. Go ahead, precious love.
But I mean, we haven't taught our children to rule. We haven't taught our people.
And this book does it.
That's the purpose of God's word.
It's
for us to rule. It's like, what is it for? To sing? And to come in, and we're going to have some dancers? And what is it for? If we're not going to go out of the building and do it, it makes no sense.
Listen to the stuff that covers in here. The theology of politics. This is how they teach their children. The origin of civil government. It's going to teach you how to about consent, covenantal federalism. It's not what we call federalism. Federalism was covenantalism. It's going to talk about the function of government, the power of the minister of God, what law enforcement is supposed to be. Not what we got now. Because we see, even marriage, when you don't do marriage like you're supposed to, they wife swap, they do polygamy, they do polyandry, men cheat on their wives cheat on their husband, we got open marriages. It wasn't that the institution was wrong, it's what you've done to it. Same thing with what we call the police force. The power to tax, where they get that from, counterproductivity and not linking Christianity to politics. Well, you already know when it called Christianity to me, I'm going to be changing that to the biblical teaching, because most people that's out there talking about no justice, no peace, I ask them to their face, if you were in charge today, what would you do if you were given the power to rule today? How would you do justice? I'm not even talking about the economy yet. How would you do justice? This is what the Bible is teaching us. We don't want to do it.
We're so sorry. We're so lazy. We don't want to go home and get some work and get some drink and something to eat and watch some TV and watch a game or something and get up and do it again. And it's like it's the people who would complain and say, well, you know, Trump has the backing of the evangelical church.
What's that?
All those white churches, and oh, they're so unrighteous because they're backing Trump. Well, they've already been taught that that's how you do it. This is how you do government.
What about all the...
You do it covertly, behind the scenes, and you get him the back of whatever you want to do. Or you say, well, I'm going to teach my children that you're going to go and you're going to take that land over there. Now, don't black people over there. They don't know what you do. And they look like they got it.
We're going to label them. They savages.
They got so-and-so. They don't know how to treat it. It's our earth. Look how they doing our ground. And we're going to go take it. When they come down to your property, they've been taught that. That's what they've been taught in their church.
In the church.
But if you had taught it your church.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't find it in the Bible that's all they did. When they came, they realized this was life and death, because that's what you're doing with the animal. It represents you. And you're showing the bow down to the Most High. Then after you all have done your worship and all of that, then you get you some wine. Then you get a big cookout. Don't tell me I'm lying. They would have that doggone ox on the grill or on the altar. They would have that. They would have turtle dove. They would have sheep. And if you brought certain things there, especially on the feast time, you bring your beer, you bring your wine, and you better not cut up. The Levites will kill you. Imagine if everybody's sitting around drinking wine, talking about God, having beer, those that drink or whatever, and the Levites, they walking around, ain't nobody getting ready to beat their wife up. Nobody getting ready to mess with Quayton's woman. You're just enjoying in the Lord. That was a sign of prosperity. You had your own vineyard. We follow we follow prohibition.
We
make it, somebody tell me I love God because I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't. And what the heck they got to do? They got nothing to do with God. Do you lie on people? Do you fornicate? Do you keep people out of their money? Are you growing? The Bible tells you explicitly, study to show yourself approved. Do you study, but not like I should? Guess what I do with somebody? You ever heard me when somebody say they don't read the Bible like they should? I say, don't should mean should like this obligation? Yeah. Yeah. I said, would you do witchcraft? No. I said, the Bible say you do. Stubbornness is witchcraft and iniquity is idolatry. Timmy, don't take all that. Well, if it don't take all of that, why the people that rule, they do it. They are always focused on the end game. See, once we get to where we love God like we should, we can focus on changing this world. We don't even change our home. This Bible right here is one of the things Gilbert and Law, they determined with this Bible, Miss Abraham, they determined we're going to control black people. And this book, imagine, now the usual we call the Old Testament has 39 books. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This one has like about 12.
Ooh.
Okay? It cuts out all of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, it only has chapter 19 and 20. It doesn't have the ones with Judges, the wickedness that they did. It doesn't let you see that God had made them a nation. But just in case, the book of Numbers that will show you how to be a nation, it doesn't have the book of Numbers in it. It doesn't have the book of Leviticus in it. It only has about 15 chapters of Genesis. Okay? We don't have Genesis 10 in here, okay? You don't have Genesis chapter 9 where if you kill a man, you get put to death for that, okay? And in Deuteronomy, we're only going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, about 8 chapters in Deuteronomy. We're not even going to deal with Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, we just a few chapters of Isaiah. Jeremiah, he too, he, no, we can't do no Jeremiah.
No Jeremiah?
No! Let me tell you what's in it. It's very easy. Exodus, 2 chapters. Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel, 2 chapters in 1 Samuel, okay? That how the king will rule in chapter 24. I guess it's the Abigail thing. And then you have 1 Kings, you have about 5 chapters of 1 Kings. 2 Kings, you have 2 chapters. 1 Chronicles, 1 chapter. You might well don't even have it. You don't have 2 Chronicles. In Job, you have about 7. Proverbs, you have 2 chapters. Ecclesiastes, you look like you have almost all of them.
Oh.
You got 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's going to make me go back and read chapter 2. Why you leave out chapter 2?
Yeah.
And then it has Daniel, has 2 chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 9. Hosea only 3. Joel only 2. The 39 books of what we call the Old Testament. You have left out, let me see, if it's not 13 here, let me leave out 2/3. Let's see, 3, 6, 9. We got a little over 2/3. And then what we call the New Testament in Matthew, they give you 1 through 28. Luke, they give you 1 through 24. They start cutting you down when you get to Corinthians. You get only 4 and 5. You don't get to talk about thieves.
You don't get to talk about
sex either. No, you don't get to talk about their homosexuals. And in John, you only get about 6 chapters. 2 Corinthians, that's 2. 1 Corinthians, you get 5. I was bad on that. Galatians, you get 1, 5, and 6. Ephesians, you get 4, 5, and 6. Philippians, just 2. 1 Thessalonians, just 4. 2 Thessalonians, you get 2. You don't get the chapter where it talks about the Lord coming in flaming vineyards. You know, you don't get that. In Titus, you get 2. In Hebrews, you only get 5. And guess what? We don't do Revelation.
I need you to be hopeful.
Now, for those that are looking, this Unholy Bible, there's a good video on it where the man that did the research to do this, it's called The Unholy Bible on YouTube. But if you want this Bible and don't want to buy it on Amazon, you can type in The Slave Bible Gilbert, it's by Gilbert and Law. And you can get it online. They're the ones that did this. There's a good parody. I don't mean a funny parody. What would you call something where somebody uses an illustration to show something? Anyway, it's called the Willie Lynch Letter. That's a compilation of things that happened. It will actually show what they were doing, how they controlled us. The Willie Lynch Letter, I actually bought it and listened to it. It's worth, I think it's worse than reading it. I bought it on Amazon. Audible. I think I might have paid $4 or $5 because a lot of time when I'm working, I can read with my ears. But anyway, so I got Brother Andrew and Brother Jeremiah. They will get the book. I'll just give Andrew his. I think I'll get it there fast. Yeah, if this is fast, it will go through the mail. So Brother Brody, Brother Body, it looked like B-O-D-I-E, because what happened is as I got older, sometimes the letters go to, but it's B-O-D-I-E. On the message, just tell me where to send it, unless you want to come all the way up to Stone Mountain and get it. Gary, you still with us? He might have disintegrated. But one of my main things is that what would I do if I was in charge? I might in the future just show some of the stuff out of theonomy. Theonomy is a word that a lot of people hate. But before I ever heard of that word, I always loved God. I always loved what we call the Old Testament. I did because I guess I was just ignorant as a child. And it is written. I would want to go see where it is written. It is written. Or they say, Jeremy say this. Because they shorten the name Jeremy. Or he say, I want to see it. Because I want to know where they're pulling from. So I didn't have that dichotomy. The only thing, the dichotomy I had is if the New Testament say that this is something that was superseded. What I mean superseded, instead of killing two lambs every day, now it's you, that you make yourself a living sacrifice. To me, that's okay. So you were training me here that daily I'm accounted as sheep. As a matter of fact, Paul says that what that means, quotes the book of Psalms. But by me having a good memory as a child that I was made fun of, I could read stuff in what we call, I read the New Testament first because that's what we were taught. And when I saw some people, I think I saw a man named Byron Dunn. I thought he knew the Bible. I didn't know he had memorized the parts in the middle of the Bible. Still, it gave the same effect to me. It bothered me that he could do that and he knew the Bible and I didn't, because I didn't know many people knew it better than me. And then one day this man named John William Oliver was preaching, and as I said before, he talking about they were fighting the war and they threw a man on top of the dead bones of Elisha, and he got up and he was running with him. That was it. I was 17. There'll never be another man on the planet that'll be able to preach anything out of the Bible I hadn't read. It bothered me. And if it doesn't bother you, that somebody could tell you stuff in the Bible, I never heard that. I never read it. I see people like that, they don't even mind. They 40, 50, 60, 30s. Like a dude last night, Rudy and I were working. This dude's talking to me, and I'm thinking he's going to ask me for some money, okay? So I already made my mind up, okay, I'm going to give him that what he wants. And he said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing well. I'm trying to walk with the Most High God. Do what he say. What about you? Yeah, because, I mean, you ask me how I'm doing. That's how I'm doing. I said, what about you? He said, well, I want to do it. I said, do you really? I said, what's holding you back? He said to me, well, you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I need to read it. I said, where are you going to start? He said, Genesis. He said, I really want to read my Bible. I said, how old are you? 30? I said, when did you decide you want to read it? I've been wanting to read it a long time. I said, I don't believe you. You know me, right? I said, I don't believe you. He said, why? I believe if you wanted to do it, you would have already done it. But evidently, you might like to know some of the stuff that's in there, but you really don't want it enough to do it. If you don't want it enough to do it, that's not really what you want. And he thought about it. Then he tried another way. Well, I procrastinate. I say, so when you procrastinate, does that mean you enjoy what you're doing, procrastinating more than you do to learn to read God's Bible? He said, no. I said, well, tell me this. What do you do the most? Do you procrastinate the most or you go read? I procrastinate. I said, how you going to try to make me understand that you don't enjoy procrastinating the most if that's what you continually do? He said, you know, I'm saying it like I'm laughing, but I'm serious. What they call a heart attack. Well, anyway, we talked, and I was able to help him see you don't want it. You don't really care. You have ignored God. And then I asked him one of my favorite questions. People don't like me to say, if you die tomorrow, where you going? They kind of stop it. It's like a show stop. It's okay. It'll be all right.
Okay,
so I asked, don't be all embarrassed. Stuff happens. So anyway, I asked Quayton, I said, so if you had died yesterday, would you be all right with God? He said, I think so. I say, help me understand. You say you procrastinate, you don't read the Bible, you're not living like you should, you're not doing what he says, you got a lot of stuff that's going on wrong in your life. Then you come back and tell me you don't know if the Bible is true, you don't know if the Bible is right because you've heard other stuff, but yet you tell me you want to read the Bible and you feel like if you had died yesterday, you would be all right with God. How is it you're going to be all right with a God that you don't know, that you don't really know if you believe in him or not? I say, how does that work? And he just thought about it. But we say some of the most asinine things just by asking a person, you know, and I want you to start doing this, please. When you're talking to somebody and they say something bad about Trump, I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's about Ahmaud Arbery. And just say, why is that wrong? Why was it wrong for him to kill that guy? And listen to people work it out. It's almost like you've been taught not to say that God said it. Or like if I had been at that march where people saying no justice, no peace, and everybody had to come by my table, say I was giving water, something like that, and people were getting, I said, when you say no justice, no peace, what is just, when you, define justice for me. Define peace for me. Because if you don't define justice, I say, what would you accept? Who gets to determine what justice is? Is justice different in China than it is in Australia, North Korea? What about in the 1600s? What about when they brought us here? It's like, what? In other words, when you're talking, in order for us to ever get together as a body of people and demand something, we need to have something that is anchored in, that's unchanging, that's immovable, that's transcendental, that it cannot be destroyed by opinions, thoughts, or whatever. And once we can lock into that, we ought to be able to be set. We ought to be locked out like a bulldog and just shake that doggone devil till he let go and get the heck on. Amen. But we get to the place where, you know, I love the Lord until I want to have sex. Mm-hmm. I love the Lord till Quayton say something to me and I want to slap him. I love the Lord till you say something about my mama. What if it's true? What if your mama is a hoe? I know you don't want to hear it, but is it true? Because here's the question. Do you hate that he said it more than that your mama do it? Man, he ain't supposed to be talking about my mama like that. He ain't supposed to be talking like my mama like that. I say, how do you determine he ain't supposed to be talking to your mama like that? Well, he just, I say, how can it just ain't? Does he know it's just ain't? He trying to make me mad. What's wrong with that? See, what I'm saying is we don't know why things are wrong. We do. Until we understand that it's wrong, because God said, and only if God say it. I see I went and visited a church one time, the man, he a preacher. I saw a man the other day talking about God. He drunk a beer, and I knew he wasn't right. And it wasn't the opportunity. It wasn't the opportunity for me to say anything. You've been in that church where I used to go on Wednesday, sometimes I went to chapel. And I wanted to say so badly, but it was like it wasn't open for him. I'd have said,
is that the one that wants y'all to go outside and walk around the church?
No, that was in Riverdale. I told D, we're not doing that. He ain't gonna have no kind of controls on us to walk around church like you.
Church,
you know, do like, doing there. Like, with Joshua did. You don't have that.
Why you trying to bring down the church you living in and preaching me.
And you don't have the power to tell me to
get rid of you.
And you don't have power to tell me to reach over and touch my neighbor and take everything on. No, this ain't Simon Says. I watch you try to have power over me to see how many people are going to do what you say. If I want all the church in our assembly, if I want all the assembly to say amen, if you will, say amen.
I've been
something
like that. I've been in the church. You know this church is on Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
This preacher was preaching, he was like, yes, yeah, reach on, lean over there to your neighbor and say, and I looked at him and I crossed my arms and I just looked at him. He was like, oh, from Yellow Man. He was like, oh, you know, I feel a spirit in you, some folks feel it, and you know, sometimes the spirit ain't right in here and they may resist everything, and I just get like this, I said, and he's like, well, you know what? You know, I'm going to preach anyway. And he finished his sermon, and, you know, everybody was going up to shake his hand. And I think everybody was walking up to shake his hand, and I just looked at him. He was like, how you doing? And I turned around and walked the other way. I don't have anything to say to you, devil. I already know who you are. I see you. You try to fill the room, and you see people you haven't seen before, and now you want to see if you have control over the crowd. And everybody going to do what I said. This is not Simon Says.
I'm for real.
In the third grade?
Yes, in his mind.
I'm a grown woman. I have a husband. You don't tell me what to do.
See how good that made me feel, Miss Abraham.
Like, no, I don't go for that. And it's like, I'm not going to help you preach. You got to do it on your own. You chose it. You standing up there. I'm not getting ready to say nothing to nobody. You on your own. Preach.
You remember the time we went to the church in Gainesville for New Year's, and the man stood up on one leg like a broke leg dog for a long time, and they were making fun, and they were making jokes and things. And then after the service, the man asked me how did I enjoy the message. I said I didn't. I said I hated it. What all did I say, Andrina?
They all looked like, oh no. It was like their demeanor, all four of them, their demeanor changed. And it's like, oh Lord, because they was up there giggling and things. They was even laughing at him. You know, he had his little people sitting around him in the pulpit and stuff. And it was like, and they were laughing at him. And they were giggling like little girls. And I'm like, I was like, I really want to walk out. But if you not gonna walk out with me, if I ain't gonna walk out, so I'm gonna take it.
I sit there like this.
It was burning.
No, then I sit there like this.
I couldn't wait for it to be over. I was like, I kept being like, oh, what I say? Oh, they give him the nerve. Oh, he's standing up here on one leg for a long time. And they clapping and they, on the organ. It's like,
and what about Quaytun that got in the spirit and started prophesying? If you need that dime last year, God gonna give you that. You gonna, God gonna give you a dime this year. If you was sick last year, God make you well. God gonna make you well this year. Everything that's bad that happened last year. That's what I'm saying. Quaytun said, I was so broke last year I needed a dime. Now you telling me I'm going to need it again this year. And you tell me I was sick. He going to hear me again. I know if I'm...
I wish I had a recorded then. Just to play it back. And just to show people the tomfoolery that goes on in the church. And they call it a revival. They was doing the New Year's service.
Yeah. And one of my brothers took me there. But here is the thing. Here is the thing. When I told him I didn't enjoy it, I said, y'all played. Y'all made fun of God's word. Didn't I say you wasted my time, didn't I?
Yes.
I did. What are you going to do, beat my tail and go to jail?
They was shamed.
One guy. Yeah, because he ain't never had a man talk to him. I'm serious about God.
Just pray for me, cause I don't really know yet, but I appreciate you just telling the truth.
So
because you was guilty again, and I was like, I know I should have told me to
look.
Don't try to be nice and just go.
This is one of the amazing things. This young man on here named Andrew Cheek. He told me the other day, he said, I already died. I mean, I know when he was on, what they call that thing, ventilator. I think there was time when he might have even been in a coma. All kind of stuff had happened to him. Yes.
I know when you've actually been dead already, you don't fear death the same way.
He said, for his family.
Yeah.
But it like I ain't walking around like chicken, little as guys.
Yeah. You don't fear the same fear that everybody else fears. You know, when you hear certain things and go in certain places, you don't have the same fear. Because it's like, I'm dead already. I've already died. And sometimes the Lord does that to remove that from us. That makes us bolder in Him. It's supposed to make us bolder in Him.
And so what happened to me is, God done beat my butt. I mean, like Billy used to say, good fashion. I've been in jail 3 times for something I didn't do, and I thought, well, I'm going to get out. You know, it's the justice system. They'll find out I didn't do it. I did. You see how naivete? And subsequent to that, now, looking at people spending 20, 30 years in jail for a few dollars that they didn't do, and they're getting out with DNA, and then like Robbie Zachariah said, the warden told him that people here on life, they are innocent. But that's what turned me around. Because it's like I'm tired of you belly aching because some stuff happened to you in your church. Grow up. It ain't touched nothing to what happened to my son. Grow up.
The purpose is for him to use you. The purpose is for service. You don't leave Egypt to lollygag and to say that my next step is heaven. You know, like, if I'm free from Egypt and I'm free from that bondage, which is a representation of the bondage of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin had the rule of sin. Sin goes according to your flesh. Wherever your flesh led you, you went. Whatever you felt, you did. And they no longer have bound that way. But it's not for you to get over here and say, well, I'm free now. Well, no. It ain't really for your righteousness that I'm sending you over here to take over this land. It's because of their wickedness.
Yeah, we got to learn that.
You are understanding that. People are so, so wicked. But I'm teaching you righteousness in the process before you get there. I'm teaching you what righteousness is. I'm teaching you to demand it. Not only just from them, but from you.
Amen.
It starts with you. You have to learn how to get along with each other. You have to learn how to exact righteousness from each other and demand it and to put the penalty that I set forth on your own people first. So when you get there, your eye will not pity.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because you people are stiff-necked. You've been stiff-necked from the beginning. And it's not because of your righteousness I'm bringing you in. I'm using you to execute righteousness on these people because they're wicked. And if we don't understand that, we're like, well, when I get A, B, C, D, E, F, G together, then I'll be able to say, you know, to the wicked, man, you wicked. Well, are you doing the same thing they're doing? Are you killing people? Well, then you should be able to exact that judgment. You're not doing that. You're not doing that wickedness. But if you got you in adultery,
yes,
and you trying to judge somebody that's doing adultery, you shut your mouth.
Shut it up.
Fix it. Fix it.
Get that beam out.
Fix it. Don't you say a word. Fix it. Because you're under the same penalty. But that doesn't mean that I can't say a murderer is not a murderer. And see, people get it twisted. Because you don't want to do right. You're refusing to do right. And you're railer and you do stuff and I don't always say stuff the right way. But I feel like people ought to forgive. What
hell,
can we get to the judgment first?
I'm on the, and she on the judgment, I'm on that ought. That ought get me. Because when you that same ought going to tell me why, and yeah. You don't care about ought, you doing adultery.
Yeah.
Heifer?
Oh,
yeah. What's wrong with y'all? God. And somebody said, Tim called him a heifer. I said, go read Jeremiah. He calls him a backsliding what?
Heifer.
All right, then.
Saying it's just like we have to get to the place where they didn't hesitate, okay, to execute judgment on us.
Not one
righteous or unrighteously,
and mostly unrighteous because we shouldn't even be here to start with.
they didn't hesitate, and guess who they did with the name of?
Genus.
There you go.
You know, black people say genus instead of Jesus.
Genus.
Yes.
In the name of the white one, they went and conquered you. And they executed judgment on you. And they put you to death.
And damned your children.
All such things to you.
And damned your children. And they would have incest with their own bastard children. Yes.
And so
that's our history.
If we don't speak our minds, I don't know. I don't see. We're like, well, we're going to wait for the Lord to come back. Why we can't? Why can't we
hear with righteousness? I forgot that.
Why can't we hasten the day by doing the righteousness? But I've seen like people on the streets lately saying we're not doing it. This is not us. We're not looting. This is not us. They giving bricks to our children and saying throw them through windows. This is not us. They spray paint buildings. This is not us. Look at this. You all are going to blame it on us. We've had enough. But you want to drive, this is how you take our children again. You raise up another generation, and you get a situation, and they out here, and they have absolutely no direction.
They've been in your dumb schools.
I just have energy. And if somebody say, yeah, let's bust these women, yeah, let's do this, yeah, we go ahead and get this, this, and this, and you talk about impoverished children who don't already have things, and it's even tighter now because of this whole madness.
Yes, go.
And so you get them out there, and you're doing this to our children. That should be enough for parents to say, that's enough. You're not leaving out of this house. Because they're moving you. They're getting you to do these things. But the ones who know, they like, we're not doing this. So the first thing they're going to say, anything they see, it's you. It's us. It's always us. It's the black folks. We deserve everything we get. We've made this whole thing. We did this to ourselves. This is not even our country. We are what you see right now. These are America's children. These are your children. You birthed these children. If they busting windows and looting, what did you do? How did you get what you got, America? You looted. You pilfered. You set stuff on fire.
You did.
Burned downtown.
You dropped the bomb and burned
these
down
are
one.
Your children. Embrace your children, America. Don't call your children thugs, because to call your children thugs is to call you a thug. Are you thug?
Yes. Is it 2 Peter 3:12? This is an amazing scripture. It says, looking for context. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting. King James say hasting, ESV, hastening, speeding up. The coming day of God. We in the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. If you can hasten the day of God, then when you're not hastening the day of God, you're letting it take longer than it should. We keep letting him hang around. And if I was the devil, I'd do everything in my power to damn you so that you would not. As a matter of fact, here's the demons. Did you come to torment us before the time? We know there's a time. We know who you are. You ain't hiding from us. You might be hiding from them. We know you.
I try to tell anybody who is trying to walk in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's any room you walk in, you the light.
Your
posture ought to be different.
You ever hear somebody call themselves the light?
Your posture should be different. The way you speak ought to be different. The way you hear ought to be different. You ought to be ready to speak righteousness whenever you speak.
Let it flow.
Because it's not going to come from anybody else. I'm trying to tell you, this is your power. But most of us don't use it because we've been used to being saying, well, you know, well, this is, you know, it's a bunch of white people. Or, you know, we are.
And they're the arbiter to the speech.
Everybody in the room got a degree. I'm telling you, I don't care what degree they have or what color they are. If you're walking in God's righteousness, you're righteousness. You're the light when you walk in that room. Act like it.
Amen.
Speak like it.
Yes.
Stand like it. Stop letting these people believe that they can say something to intimidate you and you say no. Trust in the Lord. If they say you got to lead a room, you're going to lead a room with dignity. You're going to lead a room and somebody else going to think about it. They're going to walk you.
I had somebody carry.
You're going to leave and give them something to talk about.
Yeah, I've been thrown out one time. This man named Morris Cirillo was at a place. Throw in the Holy Ghost. Catch it. And a guy with the Bible college was there. And after it was over, I said, why were you doing that? I said, you can't throw the Holy Ghost. I said, why are you playing with all these black people like that? What? Something like that, I said. I said, you come to stuff like this? And I said, this is wicked. And they got somebody to escort me out. And I really, in all my heart, I wish I knew martial art as well as one of my co-workers. I'm just saying, like one of my co-workers. But see, you'll never see him. You grab his arm like that, he may do something in your hand like that, and now he'll be walking you. Okay.
Yeah, but this is how disorder,
yeah,
function continues everywhere you go, and it's like, and you can feel it in your spirit, and it's like, I feel like I'm a bystander in this terrible accident, and I'm watching it happen, and it's like, and I feel like I ought to say something, but I can't find it. It's like double dutch. I can't find a place to jump in at the right time, but it's like you see it and you feel it and you know it, and it's always the right time to take something. It's always, and it's like the risk is, and this is what most people don't want, the risk is this, you're going to be ostracized. And the Bible says you better rejoice when they reject you.
Putting Andrew Book in the case now because I might forget.
But it's like, if you don't do it, who will do it? Nobody will do it. Nobody will say it. Everybody can see it, but nobody will say it.
Yes.
Be the one to say it.
And then
be the one to say it. Put the rod of God in your back and say it.
And let me tell you something that's beautiful. Once we start being like that as a people, and you end up everybody rushing to be the first one to say it, or everyone is determined we're not leaving until it's said. Oh my God. Then Satan won't get a foothold.
Well, one of the. We need to talk to you. Because you made some comments. What did I say that was wrong? Don't ever leave that. Because what you said is completely right. I don't care about timing. I don't care about who was present. That doesn't matter. What did I say that was wrong? You have to tell me.
Name it.
But it's like, if we don't walk into every space, and we walk into a space and put our light under a bushel, we're going to hide it. And it's like, that's wrong.
You're ashamed.
You can't do that.
You're ashamed.
I've lost jobs because of this. I know. And I have 4 children to take care of. No, I can't watch this happen. I can't be a part of this. I can't come in here every day and see you do this. It's burning in my soul. And I know I'm going to be held accountable for it. And I wasn't even walking with God the way that I should have, but I knew that was wrong. And wherever I was like, I know this is not right.
Have you ever been with me when I was doing some work for somebody and I said, I'm telling you this, and that means you might not want me to work for you no more, and can you tell I don't care? Because it's like, I think I'm hoping that I would be like that if I didn't already have, you know, enough people to work for it, if I just had one. But I practiced it. And I just noticed when I first was teaching a long time ago, and I used to hear people say, I don't like confrontation.
Of course.
I was like, wait a minute. When somebody do something to you or say something to you, you already confronted. It's the time to either answer or take it. It ain't that you ain't starting the confrontation, but the Lord didn't run away. It's like he done it by Beelzebub, the prince of devil. It's like, oh, okay. Let's assume that this is true, that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and this is the only way you can cast out demons. If that's what you're saying, it is. So then who do your children cast them out by? Because see, children can mean the offspring or people in your assembly. How do you all cast, if that's the only way, that's what you're implying? Then another thing is, help me understand this. If Satan is divided against Satan, how can his kingdom stand? We know it can't. Well, isn't it true that a house divided against itself will not stand? Now, if I really cast Satan out, and I did about a thing of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. How are you supposed to respond?
No.
All manner of sins may be forgiven, men except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. That's where that comes from. It comes from a hypocritical people that's judging incorrectly, and he is saying, I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, and you're attributing that to the devil? And it's like, as long as you're doing that, you'll never be forgiven. I'm going to have to look that up right now and see if it's present active indicative of it's just a one-shot deal.
That's the problem. People always like, I want to be able to come with the evidence. That's the power. I want to be able to lay my hands on somebody and be healed. And they be healed. And it's like the power is a changed life. That you don't do what you used to do. You don't say what you used to say. You don't get mad like you used to get mad. You don't fornicate the way you used to fornicate. You've changed. That's the power. But it's like that's the power you say. You don't have to have that. But you can eat the most Honda, and I'm coming to the Honda, and that's the power with
that. That sounded real. That sounded like something I heard when I used to go to church in Christ.
And that's the power. But the power is to change, that your heart is changing. You're different, and your mouth is changed. You don't speak the same way. It's different. And so it's like, but they had the bait switch. I'm gonna say that's not necessary. But if you could just go in the back room and speak in tongues, then you have the spirit. Then all as long as you keep babbling like that and doing that and speaking in tongues, then everybody will believe that you've changed. So no matter if you're still fornicating, you can still fornicate as long as you come here and you speak in tongues. You speak in tongues at home, say.
You got to have a tithe too. You can't leave out the tithe is the covenant. That's what that's what one preacher said.
Just start saying it's like Romans chapter 6 is a joke. It's a joke. It shouldn't be there. Like you've given your body over to unrighteousness. Give your body over to righteousness.
In the same way.
in the same way. I mean, how you used to say this. I say, I remember when, in my unrighteousness, I could be like 6 o'clock in the morning and still in the club. I can't stay out for the Lord that long.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm going to have all this vigor for the wrong thing.
Especially
when it's bring that same fire for the right thing. No, you going to stay up. Whether you want to or not, you going to stay up and you going to enjoy.
Just as much as you would enjoy.
You won't do it. It's like you would do the wrong thing with such vigor and with such patience.
Electric sliding out there at the doggone riot.
You're like, well, I'm tired and I just need to lay down. You know, no. That same energy. Bring that same energy.
To God.
Bring it. Like, oh, for shame, girl, for shame. You can't stay up to 6 with me. Ooh, you can't. You better do it anyway. And don't do it again.
That'll make you not go to the club so you can tell yourself, well, I went home. Try to treat the Lord.
And like, I ain't going. I ain't giving no energy to that no more. That's going to end. But it's the same thing. It's like you see people have so much energy for the wrong thing. When it comes to serving God, it's like, oh, it's time to lay down. Because you still got fire over here. You didn't really leave it. You didn't leave Egypt, really. Your heart still saying, but we be set by the flesh pot. And they play my favorite song
12
times in the club.
And you know what black women do? Hey! Hey!
In the club, they're free. 3 days this week. And, oh, you know, you still got fire over here. You still got fire in the world, in Egypt. God can't get nothing out of you but complain. He can't get anything out of you. Over here saying, I don't have enough over here. Ain't no water. And you done gave me this. What is this? I call it, what is this?
I bet you black people, they would call it. They would call it, what is
this? What is this?
They'll probably call it something that sounds like spit, you know, but it would be like, tired of this. Because, you know, black people are very descriptive, like, and sometimes they don't even mean to cuss, it's just, this is what we call it. We don't know what it is.
But see, you don't understand what's happening.
Yes, you don't.
You don't understand that I'm purging you from your old life. You have to be purged before you get to the good fruit. Because you'll get to the good fruit and act like, I'm good. I got to purge you from that old thing so you can appreciate the new fruit. If I give you the new fruit with the same mind, you're going to be like, hey. And you're still going to go over here with the Midianites. You're going to have sex with the women. You're going to still have the same mindset.
And never do judgment.
You're going to take that purging time and say, I'm getting rid of that desire. That whole desire for stuff that I can appreciate what God can do for me. You still feeling in your Egypt days. Yeah, I got stuff. It's all good. I'm complaining. And I still want to go back to Egypt. You never left. How much you want to go back?
Because
you never left in your heart.
You never realized that there was a government for you. You like the old government. You don't realize it's time for you to really rip apart that you was like you were baptized when you came out. So you were baptized to a resurrection of being under the Most High's government. You had the government of man and his demons, because he fought against man, Pharaoh, and his Elohim. And I delivered you. I suppose I've delivered you from the power of Pharaoh and those demons. Now you're on, now you're on, now I, So now I got now I got my man is going to represent my man, which is to come, which is my son. And now I'm going to let you be under me. You have to worry about all those demons. I'm going to give you power that you will go in and you will go take from them. You will plunder them. They have plundered humanity. So I'm going to have you to plunder them. I'm going to take principalities and powers. That's what your job was supposed to do. You were supposed to take principalities and powers. You were supposed to take their stuff and go in a train of righteousness. That's what Paul did. He led them, not Paul, but Jesus, he led them in triumph. He triumphed over them and brought gifts and all of that. We were supposed to be able to go and bring gifts to men. You can see it in David sometimes, because one time some of the men didn't go, and the other men went to war, and they got all those gifts, and they got all that stuff. And it's like, we don't get none. David said the men that go to war are going to get paid the same thing as the ones that stay with the stuff. So they brought back gifts and plunder. We don't plunder the wicked. We always getting plundered. You know, I just wouldn't want to take a butt whipping all the time. You whip my butt 100 times. I'm going to figure out every time you move your left foot, you swing with the right hand. I'm going to at least get me one lick, okay? I'm going to try to hit you in a place.
You can't plunder the wicked if you
want. You know, because y'all on the same team.
Yeah.
His house ain't divided. Y'all think the Republicans and Democrats are divided?
Yeah, it's like even when they left Egypt, they still had this thing where it's like, you forgot all the misery. You forgot the taskmaster. You forgot that they were killing your baby. You forgot that they made you work with rigor. You forgot all of that. And what you remember? I remember the leeks.
And the garlic.
I remember when you said the flesh pot. See how you can romanticize.
Cause you're stupid.
The past.
Cause you're stupid.
And say, it really wasn't that bad. It really was that bad.
They were killing your children.
It's because I'm telling you, you're going to have to do right. You're resisting that. You don't want to be purged from that. That's where your heart is. It's okay that they killed them. It's okay that they have that abortion and they got this whole thing and they killed so many millions of our children. It's okay.
We don't even care. Isn't that something? How are we going to demand no justice, no peace, and we don't even care about the innocent babies? Think about it. Just think about how damnable that is. No justice, no peace. This is one man that died, and I don't want to mitigate that. We had a son to die. But we're talking about you want to march and all of that, and you don't care, and you participated, paid a hitman to kill your child because you were married to somebody else, you got another girlfriend, you paid a hitman to kill your child. I don't care if you call him an abortion doctor, he's a hitman. They get paid for it too. He's an exterminator. You pay the exterminator to exterminate your child, and you're going to walk with him about Jesus.
And start looking back. Oh, man. That relationship went so bad. Well, he only hit me on Thursday and Wednesday. And so, every other week. And he would sometimes bring his check home. And, well, she didn't go out all the time. And she didn't wear booty shorts every day of the week. And, you know what I'm saying? She would feed the kids something to eat every now and then. You start romanticizing what was bad. You're
like
halfway there.
It's romanticizing the same as just flat out lying.
You remember it wrong. Instead of remembering why you broke up with the person or why you left the situation, you start thinking about why I should have stayed. And there's no, but you left already. And you start rearranging it in your mind because it's a fear of going on to something you don't know. You know abuse. Even though they would switch it up every now and then and say, no, you go out and get the straw now by yourself. But you knew that you was just a slave. You knew that you would get up. You knew that was what time. And it's like being in jail.
Mm.
You knew all of that. There was a schedule, and you was on it. But as soon as they let you out, hey, I don't have any direction. Am I still supposed to get up at 5 in the morning? And then when I get up, what am I supposed to do? Well, they gave me a job. Well, I don't have a job now, so what am I supposed to do? Is that, and you start saying, well, at least I knew what was expected of me. at least I could go, you know, in the rec room and we can sit and watch TV with. And you know, you start romanticizing jail because you're afraid of moving forward. It's like, I don't know what to expect, instead of saying, I want to see what God has for me. I want to see what he says is right and what's wrong. I'm gonna pray and ask for a job so that I can be occupied. My time can be occupied. And I can do what's right for my family. Instead of doing that, it's like you start thinking about jail. That's how people end up back in jail. They don't just end up back in jail. They never left. They got out and romanticized jail. I heard my nephew do it. Well, we did. We would have this stuff and we would roll it up and we have all this stuff and it was good. And we would eat such and such and it was good. I'm talking about leftovers. You know, like leftovers and candy and crap. And you found a way to roll it up and make a burrito out of it and you say it's good. And you talking about being in jail.
And who's your nephew?
I didn't
want to
repeat that.
No, what I'm just saying, if I'm your husband, then he my nephew.
But you know, but I heard that and I'm thinking like, how is it that you're not saying that that was the most miserable time in my life? I don't ever want to do that again.
Maybe because you don't want to have to go out and fend for yourself and grab responsibility and be a man.
So anyway, you come out and you get halfway and you say I'm bored. Let me go back to what I know, even if it, because to go forward means I'm gonna have to do right. And I can do whatever I want to do as long as I make those bricks in Egypt. See? I can go out, I can go to the temple prostitutes if I wanted to.
You can.
I can come back in when I, you know what I'm saying, as long as I made the bricks and I built the city, I was good. But he's talking about, I'm going to have to do right. I'm going to have to do righteousness.
Amen.
I'm going to have to stop lying.
Oh, don't want to stop
lying.
I can't
feel nothing. Oh, man. You know, this don't sound right to me. What about
the people that just feel like they're good and it's like, I don't really need to know God's word. I'm just a Christian. I'm just going to be a Christian. Everybody accept me as a Christian, but you're not leading. Mm-hmm. If we're not making a difference for the Most High, we're just doing rituals. That's what he was moving them from. I'm moving you all from, it's like, let's do it now. We're not scrimmaging anymore. In the army, we used to have guns. We would shoot. They had little red lights, you know, with red things like little tasers. We would shoot at targets. And then we would have war games. I think we'd have rubber knives, things like that. I would think that was fun. But there comes time. There comes a time that when it comes to the Word of God, most of us, we don't have our first battle for the Lord. But most of the time, we just still getting beat up. The enemy's still coming in, cutting our head, stabbing us. Sucking our energy up with a succubus, doing our children. And we spend 30 and 40 years singing, dancing. And yet when it comes to living a life, who wants your marriage? Who would want your dadgum stank to your marriage? Your marriage is, if folk really knew what your marriage is like, they wouldn't want none of it. Who would really want you if they knew who you really were to preach in their church? Who? Unless it were like unto you. You're not a warrior. Some true Islamic people, they warriors. They put us to shame. A lot of Hebrew Israelite guys, they put us to shame. I don't want a Christianity that's effete, that's effeminate, that will not stand up for a king. Our God is not a chump, he's a king. He's God of armies. He deserves the utmost honor. Some folk won't even let you talk about a mob boss the way folk talk about God. Well, I'm glad everybody. Gary, did you have anything to say? But we really had a good time tonight. He may have gone to sleep. Sometimes he goes to sleep.
Okay.
I enjoyed our class tonight, and if I don't see any comments on the Facebook, so I'm just saying the Lord bless you, keep you, make His glorious face to shine upon you, be gracious to us, and let us be the kind of people that don't let evil take over. Learn to fear Him, and learn to walk with Him, and do His will. It's not like I hear somebody trying to say something. Is it?
I was going to say, Gary did fall asleep, but we've been listening. He's been in and out, and I've been listening, and I enjoyed the discussion afterwards tonight, and the lesson. It was very good.
Well, thank you. I want us to grow. Or else I don't want to exist. If we're not going to make a difference, why exist? We're going to join somebody else. You know, Billy Preston had a song that says, nothing from
nothing,
nothing. Well, I believe that nothing plus nothing, still nothing. I believe that. So if we're going to be a bunch of nothing, in the words of my daddy, let's just join somebody else's bunch of nothing. Or stay at home and be nothing, but let's not put God's name in it. This is why we got to add more wrath and judgment upon ourselves. People are supposed to fear us because God is doing stuff in us. They don't fear us. They just mocking nothing happened. Mm-mm. Tired of it. Well, thank you all for staying. We say precious love. I thank everybody. Good night, everybody. We love you.